You're listening to a MAGFest 8.5 special presentation on the Fat Gatsby Network.
Bobby, what's your earliest gaming memory?
Okay, so I have a recollection of a friend who had like a Texas Instrument computer or something like that, maybe like a TRS-80 with Space Invaders on it. But then like my like first like real intimate memory of it was playing Super Mario Brothers on the NES coming home from kindergarten. So like come home, like do the half day thing like they did in kindergarten, you know, pop a bag of popcorn, eat some Tootsie Rolls, and sit in my living room.
You were in charge of your own popcorn and Tootsie Rolls?
Oh, no. The maid did it for me. My mom.
Part of your upbringing do I not know about?
No, my mom went to pop it. And then we had this like awesome like 13-inch Sony Trinitron or something that sat in the living room, and I just like plopped down in front of it, and Super Mario Brothers. That's my like, clearest early memory.
We're rolling.
All right.
Hi.
How's it going?
Hey there.
And Dave. I wasn't talking to you.
I'm Dave Ottavino.
I'm Weiss.
I'm Steve.
Oh, I'm Tim.
And together we form
a car.
Fat X car. Hi, we are we're Fat Gatsby with special guest Steve Smith.
Hi guys! I'm there usually just a guest.
Yeah. This weekend we are heading to MAGFest 8.5 to put on the old role of X-Strike Studios for 3 days.
Donning the mantle once again.
Yes.
Are we up to extra, like, 12, 13, 15?
One hacker.
We just passed one hacker, or one hacker just passed us.
There they are. Yeah. Is it an iHacker?
I think it's one.
Oh, okay.
It's one hacker.
Me, hacker. Hack device.
What does one mean in binary?
Yes. I'm a hacker, so successful.
Yes, hacker. So, yo, hacker, so iHacker.
We're in central Pennsylvania. That's where all the hackers are.
Yeah. We're in a car in central Pennsylvania, obviously.
We're in a Ford Focus.
We have just been geocached.
Yep. Oh, shit, now they know where we are.
Yeah,
the hackers.
We've identified our location.
Pennsylvania. So, yeah, we've been on the road for four hours. We left Buffalo at about 2.
Yeah.
After getting change for the lockbox and socks and other things that rocks.
Yeah. My coffee was good.
Yeah. Pumpkin spice.
Uh-huh.
Is that like a national thing, or is that...
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Pumpkin spice is celebrated around the world this time.
I saw someone else on Facebook saying, talking about how they had their first pumpkin spice of the season, and I'm just like, man, well, I don't drink coffee.
Well, sometimes it's beer as well, it depends.
Okay. Are pumpkins an American gourd? Like, did they have pumpkins in Europe?
I don't know.
Weird. Like,
that's our fucking treasure right now.
I know. We live in a part of the country where pumpkins just fucking grow anywhere.
Not on trees, though.
Not literally on trees, but...
That would weigh them down.
I like the flavor of pumpkin-spiced things.
Yeah.
But I feel like it has become... It has become this national media event where, like, the world awaits the turn of fall so that we can start enjoying our artificially fucking flavored pumpkin-spiced bullshit.
It's like Thanksgiving... Uh-huh. Christmas, Shark Week, pumpkin spice.
Well, we're getting a call.
These are the seasons.
Someone's going to be on a podcast.
Oh, it's just a text. Ben sent me a photo.
Oh,
which
describe
I'm not going to look at because I am driving. It was a URL to a photo.
Oh.
It said photo colon URL, and I'm driving, and he knows that, but...
Yeah.
Oh, and the fucking giant bombcast decided to start playing again.
Brad Shoemaker here.
Stop it.
We're just going to bring another podcast.
It's like when my Bluetooth...
Mail Nanjiani.
When my Bluetooth to my car automatically links to the Bluetooth of my phone, it starts playing my last podcast automatically, which is great.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
That's convenient.
Yeah,
it's like, don't call Oktoberfest when we're drinking it in late July, I suppose.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Yeah.
Someone like had changed their Twitter and Facebook handle to be like pumpkin spice, blah blah blah. You know, people that change their names.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of like reading it, like, all right, I need to have pumpkin spice coffee. I do really enjoy. I enjoy Dunkin' Donuts. Tim Hortons is really bitter for some reason. I don't know why.
Are you a pumpkin spice like flavored candle? Well,
I don't like.
I would totally go for a pumpkin. Yeah, absolutely.
But
I like them too.
I guess this time of year, I'm just looking out for the seasonally produced boxes of Monster cereal.
Yeah.
Have you seen Fruit Brute or Yummy Mummy?
I've seen pictures thereof.
Fruit Brute is old.
So is Yummy Mummy.
Last year they brought those two back.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah.
I also heard Fruit Brute was disgusting.
No, I like Fruit Brute. It was okay. It's cherry.
All of it.
What is what kind of brute is he?
Werewolf.
He's a werewolf.
Okay.
Yeah. He's a fruit.
And Yummy Mummy is orange cream. That was fucking weird.
Can I sing I like orange cream. Fruit Brute to the tune of Goof Troop?
If you remember the words to Goof Troop,
I started thinking of Juicy Fruit. Fruit
yeah, that's what I heard. It's gonna move you. I heard the Goof Troop movie was surprisingly adult.
Really?
I never saw it.
I think I've heard
it
that
was all
too.
Sex scenes.
Yeah.
All the goofy.
Well, they did draw that one woman. Like,
oh yeah,
it was that weird era. It was you're like Goofy's, Minerva Minx too.
Yeah. His neighbor's wife was pretty hot. Yeah.
Was it? And you know,
and
I'm
technically
just
a dog.
And I'm going to transition to this weird, awkward, like, stepmother era. Well, because Bill and Ted's just went up on streaming, and all the Missy jokes still land really well. Like, so, you know, Alex Winter's stepmother is only 3 years older than him, which I knew she was a little older and his dad was supposed to be Stevie, but they make jokes about, like, Ted asking her out when he was a senior, or when she was a senior and he was a junior, he was a freshman.
That's weird.
So I'm just kind of like, oh, that got really weird. And they just let that hang in the air that they're both attracted to her. A really odd move.
Eskimo brothers.
Right.
Come on, shot Fruit Brute. Now we always stay together.
So this is a sane road trip where we haven't been driving overnight. This is just our base level.
Yeah, this is
yeah, this
normal.
Is a straight. We are actually usually when we take these trips, we make a stop at Camp Mahoney in southern Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
But we have opted to go the straight shot to MAGFest 8.5 since it's slightly more north of where MAGFest has been taking place at the Gaylord for the past few years.
Shorten the drive and not having to come pick me up. I came to you instead.
Yeah, I didn't have to pick up fucking David Ottavino. We should make that a habit.
Yeah?
It's pretty sweet.
I wouldn't mind trading off. I mean, you did it for 3 years, so I'll drive to Buffalo for 3 years. That's and after not after that, we'll see.
That sounds like a good start.
It's pretty good.
So
I haven't ridden in a car trip with you like
ever.
Ever.
Also, yeah. I don't think. Bring this audio equipment. What else you got
here? Well, like,
all kinds of shit.
I hear there's a keyboard.
Yeah,
you bring your child.
Oh, yeah. Because at some point, you know, the only convention we were going to was MAGFest.
Right.
Well, I mean, we did too many games last year, me, you, and Ben.
Yeah.
But, like, Steve I haven't seen in a car in a very long time.
Right.
And, yeah, so I've been the one who was going out to get Dave.
Yep.
Or my car was otherwise occupied by usually Rory and Shotgun. Lauren and sometimes Will, when he was here for a couple years.
Right, Lauren was there.
Or no, it was just like 1 year he went down. It was the other year he was there already. he didn't leave. Yeah. So yeah, it's a 7 hour drive. That's nothing by our standards of southern road trips.
If anyone happens to be confused by the 8.5,
I
was going
to ask about that.
It is a throwback to a hotel that MAGFest used to be at with a much smaller group of individuals with the theme of sort of trying to get the spirit of that older MAGFest before shit got really big.
Oh, yeah.
I've always wondered since, okay, the last MAGFest held at this hotel was 9.
Yep.
That was the first one I ever went to. Yeah. So why is this not called 9.5?
I don't know.
8.5 was catchier, maybe.
I guess you think, like, at 9.5, then you're partway to the Gaylord. I think they wanted to go back to 8.5 because 9 was so overcrowded. Like the
9 wasn't a great.
Is 9 the black sheep of the MAGFest?
No, I think 9 was
awesome. It was a great time.
It was
but
insane.
But I remember there just being like so many people.
It was just insane. That was the first year the Proto Men came and they did both acts. That's when I learned of the Proto Men and bought their music.
I need to make a vow not to stop like not seeing the best band of MAGFest and then only finding out about them afterward and then loving them for the rest of the year. Like, I please love Canon. Please come back to MAGFest.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because that I missed seeing them is a huge regret.
The biggest, the most I stream a band on Bandcamp is Love Cannon.
Yeah, they're on Spotify now, so they're in constant rotation at my house.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so, it's this weird little thing they're doing at the Hilton Mark with old school guests, like us, the Virtual Fools.
Are they actually billed as the Virtual Fools for this one?
I don't know.
Is it? Okay. Well, I'm hoping
that would be funny.
Yeah. I should be interviewing Bobby and Kevin and Virtual Foolsing it up so we can talk to them about the...
Keep an eye on that. Keep an eye out for that.
I wish Robert V. Aldrich was going to be here. The fact that he is not.
It is very sad.
It is a heartbreaker.
It's a bummer.
It is a big not MAGFest in a sense.
Yeah,
without...
it's so MAGFest. It's so not MAGFest without Robert V. Aldrich.
MAGFest, very MAGFest.
Which is funny, I was thinking about the other day how it, you know, MAGFest 2 was the first X-Strike Studios convention.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, we did that documentary, and, like, everybody that we met there was such, like, a fucking character.
Right.
Brendan was a character, like, well, the, you know, we met
character in a caricature.
Yeah. Well, it's because we, you know, we met them at this convention, we did interviews with them, and then, like, you know, they, this kind of vision of this person, like,
manifest.
Like, oh, there's all these crazy people that we met at MAGFest, like, Brendan and DJ Potato and Robert V. Aldrich.
Even Rez, like, running around the land there.
Rez has become more of a caricature, I am.
Okay, he's just grown.
Especially since he started doing a lot more caricatures.
But it's just, like, it's just funny because it came around from then, like, when we actually started hanging out with, like, when DJ Potato came up to visit.
Right.
And when at the following MAGFest, it was like, oh, Robert V. Aldrich, he's the guy who wrote those, like, anime novels and TeachTheSky.com. And, like, suddenly he's like, hey, you guys want to go get some food? And we're like, well, yeah.
See,
okay.
That was... I don't... No, I think I was there for that one. I wasn't there the first time everyone kind of hung out with DJ Potato.
Yeah, like, that was a Katsukan.
Because that was one of the weirdest things to me. Because I went from the documentary to, oh, this guy's coming over. Like, what? The guy that... Like, he was fun.
But... Oh, yeah. Because he came up for the Parappa thing, right?
He came up
there was an in-between before, there was a visit, yeah.
New listeners might know this fella as Eric Ruth of Eric Ruth Games, who I only met for the first time last year.
Right.
That was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
known for his demakes of
Left 4 Dead
and Team Fortress 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's good. He's in the industry.
But yeah, when we met him, he was this guy, DJ Potato, and him and his buddy made, like, rip off the Mani games, rhythm games. But yeah, it's just...
And Eric Yockey went on to do, that game came out, which we talked about on a previous podcast.
Yeah, Neon FM.
Neon FM.
Yep.
Yep. Which was cool looking.
Yeah, something that we almost worked on in some capacity, like, 8 years ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, like, weird how it just starts out, like, oh, there's these funny, weird people at this convention, then, like, you know, you're hanging out with them, and then missing them when they're not there.
Right.
It's, like, you know, especially at MAGFest, when, like... Like, us, the Virtual Fools, and Robert V have been to every single one since 2. Robert's been to every single MAGFest. He's a fucker. He's the longest-running MAGFest guest.
Till now.
He will, well...
This one's getting funny.
This is the con between cons.
But yeah, but, well, because...
you gotta read between cons.
Because, you know, X-Strike, MAGFest 13 will be X-Strike's last convention.
Right.
I would imagine. Like, you know, we will have no chance to break the streak. to break Robert V. Aldrich.
Not with a
13-year undefeated streak. Not going to happen. But
it's a nice, solid Roman numeral number, too.
I mean, we'll be at 12. But yeah.
Arm Cannon is, like, one of the headlining bands at this this MAGFest, which is cool.
Right,
that's great.
Yeah, I didn't really look at the bands.
It's like Arm Cannon, Professor Shy Guy, The World is Square. Those Who Fight.
Oh, yeah.
Danimal Cannon's there to do chiptunes. Brental Floss is there. Brent's there. Brent is coming, and I think he might be packing nut shots for some of us.
I'm sorry?
Beware our balls.
Yeah, around Brental Floss. Because Will saw him recently in the UK.
Yeah.
And I believe told him to bring some special surprises for us that he was going to see at MAGFest.
Yes.
We need to show you a picture of Brendel Flossie.
I've only met him like once.
I know who he is, but introduce me to him until we're about to leave, because I don't want to get punched in the balls.
And you know what?
We'll just tell him to punch your balls, but we won't introduce you.
There's not going to be that many people at this MAGFest, Dave. Yeah. You're not going to be able to avoid him.
I know.
Are you going to be more or less paranoid if you know what he looks like?
I do know what he looks like.
Oh, okay.
I downloaded the guidebook this morning, but I haven't had any time to sit down and listen to the guidebook. It's audio. I'm blind.
It's like a walking tour of MAGFest.
It's a walking tour of the hotel.
Brought to you by audiobooks.
Brought to you by Audible.
Yeah.
That's total trademark. I'm going to cut that out.
Way to go, Dave.
What's a trademark?
Audible is an actual word.
We can say Audible.
I'm calling an audible on that.
Sports audible?
Sports audible.
Yeah, the sportsing started last weekend.
The sportsing?
Yeah,
the football. Great sportening.
I heard the Bills won a game.
Yep.
It's too bad it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I watched through a season of the league, right? So I'm done with football.
Everyone's hopes up so they can be...
Oh, that is the...
That is a show I binge.
That is the thing I love about the Bills. There are teams worse than the Bills, but no team is better at getting people excited to possibly just maybe make it to the playoffs and not do it. Like, they are so... Every season, just look back, especially, like, last season and the season before that, just look back at how well they did at first, and then they started losing so bad just to make people mad.
That's
the only reason why.
I have a new voiceover client based in Madison, Wisconsin, and on our, like, third or fourth email exchange, he began this is the first, very first sentence of the email: "Go Packers!" Okay. Sorry, I just had to get that out. and then he got down to business, to like our business transaction.
Because you care.
I don't know what it is about football that inspires people to in their business communications.
Yeah. Maybe it's an automated email, like, form. Like, every email he sends starts with that.
Well, but it was the day after the Packers lost a game, I think.
A reverse signature.
Yeah.
A reverse sig, yeah. It appears a template. I don't know, but I'm sure it was only for that day, because the Packers played and lost, I guess. I learned after the fact. I was like, all right, hey, solidarity, sure, go Packers.
Yeah, go.
Whatever, I'll try to be folksy with you here.
Right.
Guy I've never met.
Right on,
find
brother.
Out you were being insincere, and the deal is off!
Ah, fuck.
Show me your Packers tattoo.
He's already paid me, I'm fine.
You can always look at it this, you could look at sports as just an in. I mean, yeah. So they.
Oh, hey, you like the sports too?
Yes.
Me too. I sports it up all the time.
Yeah. What sports do you sport?
Link to that IT crowd bit.
We're in the mountains.
We're in the middle of Pennsylvania, which goes on forever. It is the longest part of our road trips.
Which is the best time to do a podcast, really.
I think all of Pennsylvania is the middle of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it takes about 4 hours or more to go, because, you know, we're going from the western end of New York, right. Western New York.
Why we call it Western New York.
You know, we go straight down, and then we start working our way southeast towards northern Virginia. So we're not just, like, cutting straight through, like a straight line through Pennsylvania. We're going down and over. So most of our trip ends up being in Pennsylvania,
yeah,
which is a large state.
It feels bigger.
Feels
bigger than large.
See, this is the thing,
larger than big.
I don't understand Pennsylvania, because you said we're going to be driving in it for 4 hours.
At least.
When I went down to Apensic a couple of weeks ago, I pretty much just had to go along the side of Pennsylvania, and it still felt like 4 hours.
Time is an illusion, Pennsylvania, doubly so.
Where is Apensic?
Apensic is outside of Slippery Rock.
Oh.
Just north of Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like... I'm sorry, there's a university at Slippery Rock. Maybe you've freaking heard of it. It's called Slippery Rock University.
Nope. I have not heard of it.
SRU.
There's a university. It's called ITT.
I don't know what they teach there.
Yeah, there's not a lot in Pennsylvania other than bad cell phone signal, mountains, and sheets.
I haven't seen a Costco.
Is that Pennsylvania?
There's one on...
Easter road than where we are now. I feel like I see one if we're going down towards Mahoney.
I'm totally getting a Costco in Syracuse.
Oh.
It's supposed to open. It's at fall. So I'm super excited.
Yeah. I feel like when I pick up you to go to Mahoney's, Dave, then there is a Costco.
We'll go buy a Costco, yeah.
I still haven't been in the Trader Joe's, or a Trader Joe's, but one opened in Buffalo.
Oh, yeah. The Buffalo one is super busy all the time.
Yeah.
People keep saying
it's a high traffic area.
Yeah.
That Cabela's open down the street from my house.
For all my Cabela's needs.
You buy any guns?
Nope.
What about
you're wasting your Cabela's.
Yeah.
I am. I'm not taking advantage of this store. That like was completely overrun its first few days.
You better. Someone should trim the overpopulation of that store.
You really should. Only there was a way before they're banned completely.
Yup.
Fat Gatsby's coming to take away your guns.
My name is Robert.
You're gonna have to sign.
I am so much younger than you guys. Sadly,
he's Robert. And
the thing is, like, my first memory at my own house was Super Mario Bros. 2 on the Super NES.
Yes.
Well, Super Mario Brothers 2. Super Nintendo
version.
No, the one where you could play. I think you play two player. At the very least, there is. At the very least, the second level was a water level, and one of the very early levels is you just get Yoshi. That's all you do.
Play Name That Mario. Right?
I don't know which one. It's
Mario 2.
It's Super Mario Bros.
Mario World.
Okay, it might be Super Mario World. You might be right. All right, it's Super Mario World.
How old are you?
I am 25 right now.
So like 16.
My definitive game was N64. That was the definitive system for my age.
That's what you remember in your mind.
I can play Smash, Diddy Kong Racing, and Tony Hawk Pro Skater better than probably anyone here.
Okay. That is about where I go.
Sure,
that's
probably true. Right.
Yes.
Yeah, trying to get used to saying Fat Gatsby. I'm being overt. You know, obviously it's new to us, so it's just kind of.
If we slip,
it's good for us to say it once in a while. Yeah. For myself,
please don't. Yeah.
There was a fun little sting at the end of last week's episode. If nobody listened through the music, but you should have.
Yeah. I should go, man. I just made sure the files, you know, worked and sounded. That's about it.
Did one of us say? Next track?
Well, I'm not going to explain the whole thing. You go listen to it.
Go listen to it.
Yeah, we got to go listen now.
Yeah, you the listeners.
I mean, I'll explain it to you guys when we're done recording.
Okay.
All right, I turned it off. Go ahead.
you're a liar.
It's not recording.
I saw him push.
You're
a fucking liar.
I hope it's still recording. Yeah, it's still recording.
No, you're a terrible liar.
So our recording setup is, Dave, you got some microphone coming out of your iPhone.
I have, I have
like
what's called a boundary mic that I found at a thrift shop.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. Not a Radio Shack, like it says on it?
Right, no, well, it is built and manufactured by Radio Shack, but it's the kind of microphone you'd see on the floor of a stage or a conference table, too. Yeah.
I think it looks like a spaceship.
Yeah. Totally looks like a spaceship.
Absolutely.
It is wedge-shaped. It looks like a doorstop.
Or one of the shuttlecraft from Star Trek.
A little bit,
yes.
Yeah.
That's what I was getting at.
Yep, just shuttlecraft Goddard.
Yep.
Only black.
Well, just
midnight black.
Goddard.
Not
dark Goddard.
Late 80s beige.
Right.
Wood paneling on.
But we're testing out a bunch of audio stuff this weekend.
Oh, hopefully I brought goodies.
There's a keyboard.
There's a keyboard. Wait till you hear it. We're gonna play some tunes. We're gonna jam.
Yeah.
We're gonna rock out. I brought like an unruly setup. I brought my mixing board too, because the thing about my keyboard is that, you know, I mean, it's one sound input at a time. If you want other things to happen,
there's a lovely view to the right of our.
That's a lovely.
Hold up the mic so people can see it. You know what? Before that lovely view was that woman in the right lane on her like texting, but like wasn't even like giving the cursory look up. And like, this is a big ravine. It's all I'm saying.
That is just buried in the phone.
One little swerve. See you later.
Some of the other, besides the keyboard, like other instruments are going to include like drum machines and beat makers on my phone, on an iPad, and on my PSP. Beaterator. the
Beat Raider.
Rockstar's Timbaland sponsored music creation software Beat Raider is on my PSP, and hopefully that will get
it sounds like an alternate to X.
Like a what?
Like an egg alternate. Like, my brain is trying to think of what the hell this thing is. It's like Gatorade and fake eggs.
No, that, well,
which sounds delicious.
Beat-a-raters.
Yeah, shake it up.
Yep. Get your day started right.
It's got a little cartoon Timbaland on there. He's wearing like a three-piece suit and headphones. He's adorable. He looks like he's like sort of soft and flat shaded, like he's one of the gang beasts.
Can we put him into Gang Beasts?
God, I hope so.
Can we turn that game into Def Jam?
Someone call Double Fine. Have all your favorite rappers. That would be the best Def Jam sequel.
Yeah, it really would.
Def Gang Beasts.
That sounds racist.
Well, you know, it's going to be on Steam, so maybe they'll have mod support. People can just skin those off.
Busta Rhymes and Gang Beasts?
We're not hanging off a Ferris wheel. In case people didn't know, Gang Beasts is a video game. You should look it up on Steam and or watch the Giant Bomb quick look to get an idea of what it is.
The YouTube trailer does a fair... Their own trailer does a good job. Well, because Double Fine has two-player productions to do all their little videos, too.
So, what are we doing at MAGFest 8.5? I mean, we collectively...
A fuckload of stuff on Saturday, I'll tell you that.
Our Saturday is really packed. There's improv, obviously.
Yeah. The things we'll be talking about in the going home side of this podcast will be a live commentary, an improv... I'll probably talk about Name That Tune, and then a panel that's on at midnight on Saturday.
Yeah. Opposite John St. John?
No, the commentary is opposite John St. John.
That's right.
Yeah. We're kind of opposite Matthew from Botchamania.
No, he is after us.
Oh, after?
So we know what we're doing.
Oh, I thought it overlapped a little.
No, he's at like 1:30 in the morning. No, he's in the same room, like a half hour after we're done. He's at 1:30 in the morning.
I thought he was at 12:30 in another room. Okay.
Nope. Yeah, we're doing an X-Strike versus Hollywood panel.
Yeah.
It's okay. People know at this point that they're hearing this that was incorrect. Because they will have been there and seen what happened.
Yeah.
X-Strike's final rant.
Yeah, a table,
against the atrocities.
I don't know.
Quote unquote rant. We'll
go see. hopefully, I'll have things to say about The World Is Square, which is a band, and Arm Cannon, which is also a band, and I don't know what else.
Yeah, I don't even know what band-wise I'll see.
Are arcades being brought?
I hope so. I mean,
I don't know if they.
I want to play some pinball.
Going to go buck nuts.
It's a smaller space to fill with arcade machines, but it was during those MAGFests where they started to gradually build the actual arcade machine section. Where at first it was like, you know, maybe a half dozen machines, if that, till the point where, you know, at MAGFest 9, like there was a pretty decent arcade down there.
I just want ambulance rescue.
And then they went to the Gaylord, and now it's like that huge fucking room.
Yeah.
You can just get lost in for hours if you have that kind of time on your hands.
I bought season one of Pinball Arcade on PSN this week, and my daughter loves Bride of Pinbot.
Nice.
She likes the girl. Yeah, robots. She's totally into girl robots.
Me too.
Awesome.
My daughter's super into girl
robots. So, like, I don't... You know, when I was playing that game, I was kind of wondering, like, are you putting together the Bride of Pinbot to have sex with her?
You know,
because you turn her into a human eventually.
Oh, weird. That can't have sex with a robot.
Yeah, I know.
That shouldn't have sex with Pinbot.
Well, I don't know. She at least then has a human outer appearance. I don't know what's on the inside.
Are you turning her into a robot whore?
I'm asking about, because, you know...
Well, if you're playing this game, you are.
So, Tim, your first rationale is, I'm building something. And your second question is, can I have sex with it? No. No, these are the kind of implications I'm getting out of the game.
Why?
I mean, it's a person.
Play Bride of Pinbot! It is pretty sexy.
Yeah. It is pretty sexy.
Okay, so
like,
it's,
you're putting this woman together, you're giving her her eyes so she can see you, and, like,
it's
complimenting on you. And
yeah. Okay, oh,
and then,
okay,
like, you turn her human, and, like, this, you know, sexy face rolls over, and she's like, oh, hey.
See, turning her human has really screwed with my head, because, like, I always thought you were building this for Pinbot. It's called Bride of Pinbot. They're going off of Bride of Frankenstein.
Then you take it a step too far.
That is too far.
And suddenly you're banging
Yeah, you don't have Bride of Dr. Frankenstein. And that would be weird.
You know what I mean?
Bride of Dr. Pinbot.
It's like there's that quest in Fable 2 where you can bring back the corpse of Lady Gray and then marry her.
Oh, that was
that
great.
Glitched on me, mother. Oh, son of a bitch. Then you can have a child of color, which is really weird.
She was my wife, and I saved that game, and I ran into Meat Mouth. The demon door that eats meat.
Oh, yeah.
And she glitched out. She disappeared.
Oh.
So I no longer had my undead Pinbot wife. or whatever.
She was one of my several wives. I set her up at the house in... I don't remember.
I think she was my only wife in that. Yeah.
Oh, I had one. Every place I could have one.
I don't usually marry in those games.
You had a zombie wife?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, yeah, because the guy was like... Oh no, if you don't leave, she's gonna fall in love with you before me. And I'm just like, well, I gotta stay here.
Yeah.
It's like, I pursued her. Well, yeah, no, I married her in the first game too, and I divorced her. It's the most evil thing you can do in Fable 1 is divorce a woman, not kill them. Divorce them.
Yep, yeah, the most evil points you can get.
Yep, if you want to get 500 evil points for divorcing a woman.
They would rather die than be without you.
I don't know what that says about Peter Molyneux, but.
Right.
I know what it says with my playstyle. Yeah.
This is the greatest thing you can do in a video game ever, ever.
Yeah, I had like my plain my girl next door wife in Oakvale. I had like my secret wife behind the demon door. I had my like haughty rich bitch wife in Bowerstone. I had Lady Gray like out in the countryside. I had my hooker wife in I don't know where you get Reaver from.
No, I did have a hooker wife in the first one, I want to say.
If only they had robot wives.
Yeah. Yeah, like a steam-powered one. You know, her chest is like a boiler.
Yeah.
And she's got, like, wooden legs.
Yeah, keep talking.
Yeah. And presumably some big ball, like wooden ball for a head. Yeah, just a wooden ball. She could be, like, one of those dipping cups. That you just, like one of those child toys?
Yeah.
The ball sits loosely on the top.
It's called cup and balls.
Yep. I really want this girl to cup my balls.
No, it's not what you sound
like. This is why you
could... It's not what you sound like.
It's not what you sound like.
You're perverting this whole thing.
I just
this is what people come to hear.
This hasn't even gotten dirty.
Look, Bride of Pinbot is merely... This is Mark II. She's got more human-like skin, like Data's daughter, Lol.
And she can contract. You know what? You should never...
And she can use contractions.
You know what you can't name a robot anymore?
What's that?
Lol. It would be like naming a robot Raffle.
I think on the show
Rafflecopter.
I think it's spelled L-A-L.
Yeah, it's not the same.
It's a Hindu word, right?
I don't know.
Hindu for love. That's Steve, why he chose it.
I know Star Trek, but I don't know.
Oh, Hindu. You know Urdu. You don't know Hindu.
The fuck do we know?
Oh, it's Steve. He knows any language that ends in do.
Racist.
Hey.
Guys. Hey, come on.
It's a podcast.
We're just talking about cup and balls.
We're just talking about cup and balls. Robot whore wives.
That's a language I do speak.
Get off
my
balls.
I didn't say she was a whore. No, she got married. She's left that life behind.
I don't know. If you're building her for the purpose of having sex with her, then yes,
her for
she's
that
a
purpose, but like, yo.
Well, she's got to at least marry, and assumably, you know, no one's going to get married without tussing the cow. So, the robot cow, as it were. The milk of the robot cow being sex.
Is it just, it's merely the husky voice, the husky robot voice that says, now I see you.
Okay, like, you're just going to have to play Bride of Pinbot.
I am. I'm going to have to...
You guys play, you're not just going to have to play Bride of Pinbot, you're going to have to excel at it.
See, here's the problem.
You need to turn her human.
I'm agreeing with you, is that there is no implication of sex, but
no,
it's A, the fact that you are assembling what more closely resembles a human than the original Pinbot did, and that she speaks to you in a sort of a seductive voice.
Yes.
Is obviously to a male psyche meant to imply.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Well, I think,
weird.
Like...
This is Kelly LeBrock.
Aside from, like, instead of, like, a horror thing, that you're making a slave is the way I'm seeing it. You're selling off this...
That. Like, this seems to totally...
Well, consensual. Because it doesn't seem like...
I mean,
no,
be
because...
Robot does mean slave.
No, are you really asking her permission after she's built? Because the implication of this game is you are building her to give as a bride to Pinbot.
Yes, yes.
And that does not sound like she has anything to say about this.
Well, what's the divorce rate among arranged robot marriages?
This is about 12.
Far, zero, I thought.
Oh, zero? Okay, well. Our numbers are different.
You know, actually, no, that's true. No,
there's many interpretations of the story of Bride of Pinbot. So little to go on. It's difficult to tell what the creator's original intention was.
That's why you have different sects.
But I figure, like, you know, you run off with the Bride of Pinbot, and then he develops a gambling habit and becomes the Jackbot.
And he loses one
because
heart.
that's the third game.
The story is old as time.
Jackbot. It's a gambling themed version of the original Pinbot
with the masturbations.
It's basically a straight remake of the original Pinbot except with like a casino theme.
That's
so
weird.
It's like Jackpot.
Yeah. That's what
it's like that planet from Silverhost.
It's not like Jackpot. Though I guess if he's alone, there could be this subtext there that I never understood before. I never played Jackpot. They haven't put that on the Hall of Fame. I mean, it's just
exactly.
I noticed that High Speed is in a future season, which I've only played Rare's NES port.
Yeah, I'd be interested. It's basically like...
I didn't know that was a port.
It's a lot like Victory.
Yes, the goblin table.
It's basically that.
Yeah. That's not a bad table.
No, it's a fine table. But that table itself is like a ripoff of Black Knight.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The two level thing.
Boy, Black Knight. You know, Black Knight is also the basis. The table layout of Black Knight is the basis for Raster Blaster, a very popular Apple II pinball game that I played as a kid and did not know that it was super popular until Retro Gamer Magazine told me so.
Once I figured that out, I was like, oh, well, you know, once I played Black Knight, I was like, oh, this is just like Victory. So Victory was probably trying to be like Black Knight. Oh, okay. Yeah, I finally started getting Retro Gamer Magazine.
I saw a couple copies at your house. Yeah. I got the latest issue on my iPad. You might have to wait some weeks until it arrives here.
The Rampage cover story.
Yeah, that's the second most recent one, I think.
That one just showed up in Barnes & Noble.
Okay.
I still have to read, like, any of it. They're great.
Yeah.
It takes me.
Punch-Out is on the cover of the most recent
issue. I
assume
it's, like, digital, like, instantly.
Yeah.
How much is it for a digital copy?
It is... I subscribe for $27 every 6 months. That is cheaper than what you pay at Barnes & Noble.
That's way cheap. Cool, because they're $10 at Barnes & Noble.
Oh, right.
Well, it's an imported magazine.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, I look at...
Imported from the UK.
From the UK.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just, you know, I look at it like how I used to buy the GameSpite books.
Right.
Now he just seems to do the Anatomy of a Game... books, but like, you know, it was like, oh yeah, sure, I'll pay, you know, $12-$13 for a unique book about video games. I mean, there is a lot of text in a Retro Gamer magazine. There's lots to read.
What convinced me to switch to digital was A, the price, mostly, but also B, I got to the point where I had this huge stack of physical Retro Gamers, and I'm like, I would love to hang on to these because they're so interesting, but am I really going to go back and reread? Where do I have the space to keep these?
If I
keep buying them, this is just going to get bigger.
No, that's true, because I have a huge stack of EGMs and Nintendo Powers in my basement that I'm like, oh man, I got to find a place to put these. I don't want to get rid of the EGMs because they're so awesome. Or the Nintendo Powers for the same reason. There was like...
I've got it back at my parents' house.
Well, newer EGMs, I'm just like, fuck it. But there's some magazines that I was like, I just gotta throw out. I need to get more storage stuff and actually store things in my attic space, but...
No, that
rings true.
Yeah.
There are sort of two eras of EGM, like the pre-late 90s... Oh my god. Joining us on the podcast is the GPS voice.
Yep.
Now you know where we are.
Now you know where we are.
Sons of bitches.
Now you know where we were.
So I can barely keep up with the awesome articles on US Gamer. So
I know.
I don't know if, like, I could, you know, read a book and, you know.
I'm reading Ray Barnholt's Scroll magazine digitally, and that is a really good magazine.
That's cool.
I've had trouble, like, keeping up with Patrick Klepek's Worth Reading since Mondays. That ended up just being terrible for me because it would come out on Friday and that's when I'd read Friday nights.
Oh, he moved it to Monday?
He moved it to Monday.
That's why I'm having trouble finding it.
So, like... It comes out on Monday, and, like, I don't know. I guess it's just because, like, I have too much to do at work right now that I can't, like, read it on my lunch break, which would be fine, but...
That makes sense.
So it's been hard for me to read any of that, which is tough, because I really enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah, me too. That's the kind of stuff I leave open in a web browser on my phone. And so the, and when I have a couple of minutes where I can turn my eye... What am I... Is that, like, wooden... Log Cabin Village?
Yeah, it's a...
Over there?
Reenactments.
It is?
There were signs for it. It's a, a reenactment village.
Well, we've probably talked
about... I'm so glad you were able to instantly solve that mystery, because I was going to be wondering about that for a long time.
We probably talked for a good 40 minutes, so we could probably... Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah, we should wrap before we want meander.
Do you guys want to hear my dog question?
Yeah, bring
it. Yeah, let's end with this.
All right, cool. No, I was just thinking about this. Every time I see a dog, I assume it's a he.
That means I'm sexist.
I know I'm a... Yeah. And I know I'm wrong half the time, at least. So...
Did you grow up with male dogs in your house? Predominantly?
Yeah. But that's... I mean, that's the thing. Is like, I know I'm biased for... my experience varies from other human beings. So I was wondering, if you guys see somebody walking a dog, do you assume that dog... Not assume, but do you assume that that dog has a specific gender? Do you, would you call it a he, or would you dodge the question like it was somebody's baby until you figure it out?
I will, like, without thinking about it, like, more effeminate dogs, I would assume are female, such as a poodle.
A poodle?
Off the top of my head.
I think poodles are boys, too.
Some of them are.
I'm just, like, that first second before I'm just kind of like, oh, yeah, that's a dumb thought. Like, I'll go, okay, like, you know, a Great Dane, I will assume, is male.
What about a Pomeranian?
In betweener. I wouldn't.
Yeah, assume. I mean, that's like funny, cute little dogs like that are in a way so gender neutral. They're
right.
Yeah.
They're like, I guess they're desexualized, really.
Yeah, but you would so
because they're comic relief.
If you had to say, though, that dog is so ridiculous, he's really funny or it's really funny.
I think it would depend. I think to a degree, I'd have to see the dog in motion. I'd have to see how it was carrying itself.
Like if its balls are displayed everywhere.
Everywhere.
No, I think more playful, active dogs I associate more with male dogs.
So
if it was a calmer, more sedate dog, I think my first thought would probably be to assume it was female.
Yeah. You made that popping sound, and all I could think of was the balls were popping off like gremlins up out of the back.
That's why you don't give a dog a bath. That you want puppies.
Right.
Eventually, I concluded that my opinion, like you were telling me,
most of them are wrong.
My opinion is kind of like a very normal way to look at how sexist I am.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's an innocent way to examine our own biases.
Yeah. And it's honest. Because if you think about the question first and then say, oh my God, yeah, I assume every big dog is a male.
Right.
I just assume men are bigger or whatever. Like, I assume aggressive dogs are male, so that means I associate aggression with a male characteristic.
Mm-hmm. Or we've seen so many cartoons that are stereotyping, you know, because you got to get that idea off really quickly. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you see that bulldog with the swagger, you're like, oh, it has a big man's swagger. Mm-hmm. It's not a lady swagger that the bulldog is.
A neighbor of mine breeds golden doodles. And
what is a golden doodle?
Golden doodle is a half golden retriever, half poodle.
Oh, fuck that thing.
And
they're only the poodle.
Very friendly, very stupid, and very, very hypoallergenic.
Yeah. She keeps them immaculately groomed. Like, they look like beautiful, like show dogs. But she also lets them run around, and they're super noisy, and they bark. And one of them bit me yesterday.
Oh. Yeah.
She also has a farm stand, and we buy our vegetables from her. And so we stopped by, and one of them was nipping at my nose. Gave me a real hard nip on the leg.
You got bit by a golden doodle.
I got bit by a fucking golden doodle.
I got bit by a golden doodle puppy.
Julia Page was petting a puppy at the time. Oh. Like, she brought us, like, over to where she keeps the dog so that Jules could pet a 5-week-old, like, black lab. Which was adorable. But in the problem, one of these golden doodles bites me real hard on the leg. and I say, oh, one of them just nipped at me. And my neighbor says, oh, which one? And I'm pretty sure I was about to say her. But I don't know if it's because I know that they're females and that one of them recently had a litter, or if it's like the spew, because they're all like poodle cut.
all done up, yeah, you know, trimmed and like, yeah, like a poodle, then right, that looks feminine to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
But there was a presumption there. And so I guess it's my fault that I got that.
Or maybe you just,
we were both to blame.
You, yeah, associate things that bite you as females.
Should this be hashtag not all sexists?
Hokey jeez, people. Should we wrap that?
Yeah, so we, yeah, should wrap
on that
this
note. Thank you.
All my dogs are girls, so.
All my dogs are girls.
Really? I thought they were all boys.
And all my girls.
Oh, boy. All right, so ladies, this is our intro. We're going to have other stuff and then an outro. So
stay tuned for more from Fat Gatsby here at MAGFest 8.5. Thanks for listening.
Not there yet.
Edit point.
On our way via...
No, we got like a couple
we will
hours
be by the time, by the next thing they listen to.
Yeah. Well, let's just keep recording for an hour and a half.
We have to keep recording until they're hearing this.
Yep. Right.
Until they're hearing the beginning.
Right. Well, it'll loop back.
All right.
Podcast or a flat circle.
Join the 72-hour podcast.
Yeah. I'm Kat. I'm 25.
Hi, Kat. What is your earliest gaming memory?
My earliest gaming memory is spending hours playing Galaga with my dad.
That's really nice that your dad, that you, yeah, have that memory with your dad.
Yeah, and that continued on in when laptops had came with the game, or like we could play them on computers. So that was like a good flashback to like my early childhood. So
you were playing Galaga in an arcade. But also, yeah, at the same time, you are young enough to have been like, hey, look, we can just pull this up on,
no,
the laptop.
So that was like years later.
Oh, okay.
And then we were like on the laptop, and I remember, the reason why I remember this being my definitive experience is because loading it up on that, like the first laptop my family ever got, and we were like, oh my god, there's Galaga on this thing. So definitely playing that. And the first game I ever bought was Super Mario Brothers 2. And I remember being really excited because I could play as Toad.
So what's the system in your childhood that is like, this is what I spent hours and hours
playing? Oh, well, okay, well, if I have to say like the most hours spent or energy and devotion would be PlayStation.
Okay, those are the games, yeah, that burn into your memory.
Yeah.
Name some favorites off the top of your head.
I spent hours of my life playing Dance Dance Revolution, like second mix and third mix. Third mix I played competitively when I was like 9.
You got some skills.
I had them when I was 9.
Yeah, man, adult asthma.
Yeah, up it.
Wacky.
Imagine when you were on the stage rapping as DJ Potato.
Nope. Well, in that case, I'm inch from my mouth. I'm used to this. I feel like this is at home. I feel like, wait, there we go. I feel like I'm really at home in this position.
There we are. Just like, hang. Oh, okay. Oh, I guess we're talking. God, I guess I should do an intro here. Hey, yeah, this is Tim. I'm at MAGFest 8.5, and Eric Ruth just showed up at our table.
Hello, hello, Tim. It is beautiful to see you again,
yeah,
my friend.
It's wonderful to see you here. What are you going to be doing at MAGFest 8.5? Do you have a game or something that you're showing?
Well, I am working on an indie project. I recently got out of a contract with a AAA studio.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say what it is, but... But I...
He's wearing the shirt, folks, yeah, so, at home.
And the hoodie. Yeah, and the hoodie. No doubt. And so we're doing an indie project, but I've actually got some AAA studio workers. Vert will be doing the soundtrack to this project. Has already turned in some great work, as you would expect from
Jake. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So I'm not really showing that off here, but that is like in the works. That's mm-hmm. that's the current project. As far as 8.5, I'll be doing a talk tomorrow. About indie gaming
mm-hmm.
and the current state of it, and
yeah.
if you so choose how to get into it, because much like the mobile app department, it's a little oversaturated now, so it
yeah.
requires a little finessing if you really want to make a mark.
Yeah. Yeah, how long? Well, actually, you've been making games since I knew you,
yep.
have known you. How
which
long,
we just discussed has been over 10
yeah,
years.
Yeah, which you just discussed has been over 10 years. I don't know, it feels like... not quite as long since you struck out like kind of on your own with Eric Ruth Games and started getting a lot more attention for your D-makes and such. Like, how long has that been?
I guess the first big one that I did was Pixelforce Left 4 Dead,
oh, okay,
which
yeah, yeah.
I conveniently released around the time that Left 4 Dead 2 came out. So
yeah.
I got a lot of natural press that came with it by actual accident. It wasn't, it just lined up that way.
Mm-hmm.
But it worked out really well, and yeah, the videos, the gameplay footage of, yeah, just gotten millions of views and a lot of downloads. And that was probably 2008.
Yeah.
2008, 2009. So it's been a good 7 years or so.
Cool. Cool. What have you been doing lately that you can talk about?
Well, recently married. My year anniversary is this coming month, and we're...
I'm at as far as video games. But congratulations.
That's as far as video games, just the project I'm doing, nothing extra coming through. It's a small team. Mm-hmm. Because it's small, you know, it's going to take a little while to get things going. We're doing no pixel art. This game is all HD, hand-drawn and painted.
Nice.
So this game is, we're excited about it. It's shaping up so far so good.
Now, are you looking to ultimately maybe get on Steam with your game, or are you just going to go independent? Like, independent of Steam independent?
Or do you
feel you have to get on Steam to be successful?
It certainly helps. I don't think you have to, but I mean, if you're an independent and you're trying to go through like Greenlight, which is kind of getting a rework right now in terms of how it works, but I mean, yeah, it definitely helps. We actually have another thing I can't divulge super information. We actually have an interview with a publisher for this game, a pretty big one.
Mm-hmm.
And everything will hinge on that, of course. So I don't even know if it would go through or not at this point, but if we go through them, I don't know what their strategy is. It might be Steam, it might not be. So for this project, I don't know. In general, if I was if I was forking on my own, then yes, Steam it would be.
Definitely Steam. You don't have anything on Steam right now, do you? Do you have anything people could buy that you could plug?
I don't. I got lots of stuff online for free.
People
are still happy to trek around online and pick up all of my places. My stuff was hosted. Like they go down and back up. But I know that softpedia.com, which is a website that schlocks free software for literally anything, games and you know, art programs and all that sort of crap. And I know you can get it all there for free, certified, no virus, that whole nonsense. So.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff. Yeah. Nice.
I like to think so.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to cap it there then in the interest of, you know, who knows how many more of these conversations we're going to do. But yeah, thanks for talking to me.
Absolutely.
Now we'll talk more off the podcast.
I hope so, because I miss you guys immensely, and it's wonderful to see you again.
Yeah. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Steve Smith, as previously announced, and I believe I'm 32 years old.
As far as you know.
Yeah.
Show me the birth certificate.
I'm led to believe this. The oldest game... I'm not quite sure because I was very young. It may have been Spider-Man for Atari.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was weird.
I never had an Atari. So many of those old cartridges are so just mysterious.
What is Spider-Man for the Atari?
It's a tower that gradually becomes short, more narrow, and you're supposed to climb to the top, maybe? While Green Goblin is throwing bombs at you. But I also very distinctly remember having an Apple IIe.
Oh, okay.
So I knew how to type... load runner. I knew how to type load sneakers. And if I was feeling really diligent, I could load bouncing kamungas. Look it up sometime. You're a farmer.
Your parents did have the Birds and Bees conversation with you.
In Bouncing Kamungas, you're a farmer.
Bouncing Kamungas.
Bobby's looking it up right now. You're a farmer. And plants grow, and you're supposed to harvest them. But while you're doing that, there's these little aliens that bounce around in the field, and if they land on your crops, they destroy them. So you, as a farmer, have to walk around and hold up a pitchfork to stab them and pop them as they come down. But there's lightning. And if you're holding up your pitchfork when there's lightning, you get struck by lightning, and the Kamungas will take advantage of you.
Truly a golden age of computer gaming.
All right, we're good? You ready? We're just going to talk about MAGFest and stuff.
Oh, I love MAGFest. Here we are at MAGFest, so tell me a little bit about it.
All right, okay, guys. Oh, gosh. It's early in the morning right now. It's 10, which isn't that early, I guess. It's 10:08 on Saturday, but everyone's tired.
That's early for MAGFest.
Yeah, and I am sitting here with Allison Ruby.
Good morning.
There you are. Who is a person that, someone who comes to MAGFest... If you don't know her, you certainly see her a lot.
Yes, I'm always in the middle.
Yeah. What do you do at MAGFest these days? Tell the people.
Well, I actually help run the marketplace. Mm-hmm. This year, we're going to have at least 100 vendors, actually more. We actually have all the band tables as well, where the extract table sits.
This is at MAGFest 13, not here.
Yes. Well, you're over there.
Yeah, I know, tables. But I'm just saying, I'm just clarifying.
Yeah, so yeah. I organize the tables, we make sure everyone's happy. We also do M points, which is our own form of mag money.
This How many tables did you have last year at MAGFest?
Last year at MAGFest, we had 153 tables.
Oh my gosh.
Growing every year.
Yeah. So, like, you told me a little while ago, your first MAGFest was MAGFest 5?
Yes.
And what did you do? Like, were you just an attendee back then? You weren't, like, instant staff, were you?
My second year I was staff, but my first year was actually with Dave Lister.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I was just watching his table.
Right. Yeah, that's how I first saw you at conventions, was watching Dave Lister's table.
Right.
For, like, early AMAs and Katsucons.
13 years.
Yeah. It's funny, because we go way back, but I don't know. We weren't really friends until a few years ago, I guess. We didn't really, like, talk.
I don't know. My feelings should be hurt.
What? I don't know. I'm just saying.
It's when we started street passing that it really became serious.
Yeah. Started talking about it. It's just like one of those things where you see someone at every convention and eventually you have to be friends.
Yeah, that's true.
Whether you like it or not.
I don't really like you, but you're here all the time, so I feel kind of obligated. So it's awkward, but yeah. We make it work.
What are you doing? Oh, our phones. Oh,
yeah.
Yes, we have matching 3DSs, and we both have Galaxy S4s, except yours is red and mine is blue.
Yes, because red for girls, blue for boys.
We are so color-coded. There we go. All right, thanks, Weiss.
Okay, that's better.
Weiss got his blue 3DS
now
in there.
Now you're accurate.
Oh, yeah, so, like, do you get time to do anything at MAGFest that isn't watch the marketplace?
Oh, yeah, you make time.
Yeah.
Like, go to panels. If you want to. I always go to at least one concert every year.
Cool.
Last year, Super Guitar Brothers, amazing.
I didn't see them last year.
Of course, Nobuo at the first year. The Gaylord was also amazing.
Absolutely.
And this year, my friend's band, U-Bred Raptors, is playing with Pete. So I'll have to go see that.
Awesome. That's tonight at MAGFest 8-5. I haven't seen them before. I think they played in Buffalo, though.
Well, they're a fairly new band. Because okay. He was originally in This Place is Haunted, which played right. here every year as well.
Right. Is This Place is Haunted not existent anymore, or is it just...
Well, all the members are kind of living in different states
now. Oh, okay, because
so
they told me they're like, one of them is originally from Grand Island, which is near where we are, and I feel like there was a show with Arm Cannon called Life Finds a Way in Buffalo, and I think there was some kind of Jurassic Park theme name
yes.
band. I think it was U-Bred Raptors.
Yes. No, I remember that. I'm very proud of that name.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know what else to ask you right now.
Well, when did you start doing MAGFest?
Oh, we started going to MAGFest at MAGFest 2.
So do you have all the shirts?
I never got a shirt, ever.
What?
Yeah.
No MAGFest shirts.
I have no, and I don't save my badges either.
So all you have is your word.
My memories. Well, and there's that whole documentary of MAGFest 2.0 that we did.
Okay, well that's
so there's all
proof.
That. Yeah, there's pictures, memories. What is, I don't know. Okay, so here at MAGFest 8.5, it's a little more chill. Obviously.
Yeah.
It's just like just crazier at the Gaylord, just way more like I mean, how many tables do you have here to keep track of?
We have about 50 tables. The last year here for MAGFest 9, we had 93 crammed in here.
Oh my god.
As you were mentioning earlier about
right.
how
it was a fire hazard.
Yeah. It was we were flaming. Because like, they're literally on fire.
It was a death trap. Yeah. The marketplace was. Yeah,
a good
this is
time,
a lot more
but also
open and
murderous.
Free. Yeah. Do you think/hope that we'll be able to put on an event MAGFest? I guess we, me as part of MAGFest, that we'll be able to put something on like this every year.
I would like it, but it's definitely there's definitely potential to not make a lot of profit. But it's more a labor of love for everybody.
Sure.
So I would rather just break even and have a good time with everybody. Because at main MAGFest, it's a lot. It's, you know, you have to be here, you have to work. But here, I can get away from the table a lot more often.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like if people, were turned off by the size of the current MAGFest at the Gaylord, this is, like, a lot of people are just commenting on how there's, you know, it feels like, you know, it's a lot calmer, there's less people, there's more, somehow more time to spend with each other, like mm-hmm. these people, that this core group of MAGFest people that have been here for years and years and years and years.
Definitely a lot of diehard fans here this weekend.
Yeah. Cool. All right, well, I'm going to let you go. because the marketplace is bumping right now, and you have a lot to do.
Yeah, bumping.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's set up some stuff for people to buy.
Yeah. Yeah, we should probably set up our table.
Oh, no, you're not going
to
set it up.
All right. Well, thanks for talking to me.
Thanks, Tim.
Yep. Bye-bye. Bye.
Brett Vanderbrook.
Well, yes, as Dave said, Brett Vanderbrook.
32 years old.
As Steve said, I'm also led to believe that I'm 32 years old. And my earliest gaming memory, as I said, was playing E.T. and the Atari 2600.
The notorious.
Yeah, I never owned an Atari. I played it on, it was a friend of the family. And I distinctly remember playing it in their attic. And I feel like I have to say that the Atari 2600 is sort of the official console of the attic. Because in the mid to late 80s, I feel like, well, the whole decade, if there was any place you played video games, it was in somebody's attic. Like, that was just like, that was the space where you played video games.
The wood grain paneling.
Exactly. And I'm sure I played in other games too. I'm sure, you know, because anybody who had an Atari at that era, I mean, it was a time when I'm forming memories. So I'm assuming I'm probably at least four or five. So we're talking, it's at least 1986 or 1987. I just remember E.T. because E.T. was so inexplicably hard, and you just didn't know what you're supposed to be doing. But I'm sure we also played Tank and all the other games we played. But even though that's my earliest video game memory, I would say my most significant video game memory is the NES, because it came out at an era when I was old enough to sort of understand and be able to, you know, comprehend what I was doing. And I remember even before I got my first NES in December of 1989. But before that, I had a friend who lived very close to me, and we would go over to his place, and he wasn't in the attic, he was in the basement, so we still had the wood paneling and that funky smell, and so, you know, so I have, to this day, you know, if I ever smell a basement that kind of smells like that, it just reminds me of sitting in his basement playing Super Mario Brothers or whatever we played.
All right, Jibber Jabber.
Boba Fett.
Boba Fett.
Jabba the Hood. Jibber Jabber the Hood. Mr. T. Rocky
Jibber,
3.
Jibber Jabber Walkie.
Hulk Hogan, Thunder Lips, Sylvester Stallone. You killed that guy.
Oh, man.
Clubber Lang, that was it.
I didn't. Oh, yeah.
And then
Thunder in Paradise. Other such things.
That's right. Drungo, Drago, fucking the Russian. And then.
Perfect, fellas. Okay. All right, sweet.
Fantastic.
All right. Hello, back at MAGFest. Now standing here with Matthew of Botchamania fame. Should I call you Matthew or by your real name?
You can call me Sir, please.
All right, sir. I'm very sorry, sir. I'll look at this painting over here.
That's
sir.
More like it.
Here yeah. Well, hey, it's good to see you here again.
Likewise, good to be seen.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah. So, you know, you live in the UK.
That's right.
And you come over here for MAGFest to the States every Indeed. Time lately,
That's
it seems
right.
like.
I can't get enough of MAGFest,
yeah.
honestly. It's so great to see so many people here being creative and happy and understanding mm-hmm. and just acceptable. It's a big hippie commune with games as a background,
yeah,
really.
Absolutely.
That's the best way to describe it.
Wait, what was the first MAGFest you came to? It was one at this hotel, I remember.
It was, yes. It was MAGFest 7.
Okay,
I remember
wow.
that, right? Because that was the one where I roomed with some complete strangers. one guy was a big guy. He was like Snorlax. He was 17. He got drunk and he fell like a tree in the woods on his roommate. He broke mm-hmm. his leg. It was my job to talk to the police.
Oh, my gosh.
And then they're like, they're looking at my UK driver's license going, what the fuck is this?
Who is how can we trust this person? He's
yeah. It was after that, everyone's like, yeah, he's cool.
Yeah. But what got you coming to MAGFest? You just heard about it?
Yeah,
did
honestly,
you know somebody?
I got into bands like the Mini Bosses mm-hmm. and Arm Cannon and just looking around, find, you know, Google before you find all these websites like OCR mm-hmm. and whatever. Google had some bootleg albums, I guess, called like Live at MAGFest, for example.
Oh,
I was like, what the hell is MAGFest? Googled it. It was like, MAGFest is this annual get-together, blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, look, all those bands I've listened to playing live. That'd be great. Hmm. Maybe one day I'll go, you know, when there's one day type situations. And then that night, weirdly enough, I had a dream. I was like, Matthew, you've got leukemia. You're going to die in like 3 days. I was like, oh, all right, it's a sign from my head. So I immediately bought tickets, came the first one, haven't looked back since. Can't
awesome.
Get enough.
Yeah, sweet. And you always, you, some people, I don't know how many people listen to our podcast are aware of like who you are in the greater internet spectrum and that you have created, you are the creator of Botchamania.
Yeah, it's great. You can be like really big in a very minor community and mm-hmm. come to somewhere like this where it's all nerds and people like one in a thousand be like, oh yeah, that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, for me, because I have watched Botchamania almost since the start.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was like a big fan, and then it was like, oh my God, he's coming to MAGFest? That's yeah. crazy. And oh, he's coming from the UK? That's even crazier. So yeah. That was a crazy thing. You've done 260 episodes now?
Just done 257.
257 episodes. And that started how long ago?
7 years. Yeah.
So what, like, how, I mean, it must have been easier when you started to get material because you're...
Oh, God, yeah. It's just Google mistakes. There we go. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's like right after, well, not right after, the inspiration was hearing about Brock Lesnar's shooting star press at WrestleMania 19 mm-hmm. and the botch heard around the world and all this. But nowadays people are like, oh, surely every stone's been uncovered, right? Surely there's, you know, you've seen all these awful WCW pay-per-views, etc. from the past. Surely there's nothing left. But then you give it a week, mm-hmm. and suddenly Jack Swagger's got a DUI, you know, this guy's out of action, the ring blew up, you know, this. So one day the world will be empty, they say. Yeah. I'm like, all right, I'll just take some time off from watching wrestling and something will happen.
Well, I don't think, because, I mean, now they got the WWE Network, so you have so much more, I feel, more easier access.
Right.
To old content to look through.
Exactly. Yeah, like, that's the thing about wrestling. It is almost infinite. I think there are less moves in chess, possibly, than there is wrestling footage to get through.
Yeah, you know? It's like I started watching some of the Nitros they put up recently, and yeah. I was just like, oh, wow, this is before the show was good.
Definitely, because you can tell with the current product, they're very keen to remove mistakes and edit stuff out. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to WCW, because they know how much they love WCW,
yeah,
they're
yeah.
oh, leave it uncut. We don't care if they mess up.
Yeah,
idiots.
You know,
who won the war?
It's all part of the show here, all part of the show.
Uncut, uncensored.
Mm-hmm. And you also recently did a Patreon, or you have a Patreon going.
I guess
that just perpetuates itself now.
Perpetuates
so
the Patreon.
Yeah, so you actually make money off of doing Botchamania.
Yes,
so.
And it's great because a lot of people have been very understanding and go, oh, yeah, these videos do take a lot of time.
Yeah.
We're, you know, 3 hours of Raw, 2 hours of SmackDown, whatever. It's like, oh, God. But I couldn't decide, like, a few months ago, I was like, right, I can't do this on my full-time job. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, work for 11 hours a day in front of a computer, come home. Work more hours for the computer. I'm like, no, I look like one of the guys from Seven, like Sloth, whichever one, I forget which one it is. So it's like, no, this, like, it's not good for my body. The body isn't supposed to do this mm-hmm. work. So it's like, all right, look, I'll try Patreon. If it works, fantastic. It was more of a, look, I don't want to be a bad guy here. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not like, give me your money or I'll end it. But it's like, there needs to be a time where you go, you look at what the success you've had and go, is it time to end it? You know, I don't know if you're a boxing fan, you see boxes like Evander Holyfield yeah. still boxes this day, and you're like, whoa, Evander, yeah. whoa.
Well,
like,
believe me, as someone who used to produce video on the internet on a regular basis, I know exactly how you feel.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, all right, Patreon, if you will willfully donate $1 at mm-hmm. the very least, you will, like, I can give you the video 2 days before anybody else, and just mm-hmm. to see if this works. A lot of people have said yes. A lot of people think I'm the sort of Satan, like, honestly, which is hilarious. To the point where it's like, these insults are so over the top.
Yeah.
Because I, it's always about pleasing the fans, right?
Right, but right.
You got to be a certain thing. You're like, no, I don't feel bad about this anymore because you still get the videos free.
Yeah.
You wait 2 days, like screw you, Matthew. You're the worst thing since Hitler. You're
it's like, what are you going to miss if you don't see Botchamania the first second it comes out? I usually see it on the weekend, like when I have free time. It's like, I don't have to be there. I don't feel like I'm missing out.
But
like,
that's it. In this yeah. internet-fueled world we live in where people can't go to the bathroom without tweeting about it. It's like, no, I need it now. It's like, oh, okay, fine. I don't agree with your belief, sir, but if you'd like to, that's absolutely fine. And it's hopefully pleases everybody, yeah. but you know how it is.
Yeah, they want it now, even though they might not watch it now, but they want it to be there. They don't want you to keep it from them.
Yeah, then they're
jerk.
And they're great. They're like, I'll never watch your videos again. So it's like, well, they're entertaining you, so if you don't want to watch it, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not getting entertained, but hey, if you listen to this, thank you very much for your Patreon. Like, mm-hmm. like I've just summarized, if you'd like to give, that's fantastic. I love you. If you don't want to give, I completely understand. The economy mm-hmm. being what it is, please enjoy the videos free of charge anyway.
Yeah.
Haha, legal.
But it's going well, and you're, you know, it seems to be worth your while.
Yeah, it's annoying when people say, like, where's all this money going, Matthew? And I was replying, Slim Jims. Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm in America for a few weeks.
Yeah.
I'm using it well, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, you know, it's giving back to you, the creator. Like, yeah. A lot of people just don't understand how hard it is to make stuff.
Right. It's always because, again, it's things like YouTube and stuff you assume mm-hmm. that, oh, well, content just drops from the sky like a stork giving birth to a baby mm-hmm. elephant. And you're like, well, no, you know, I'd like to think it was. And I don't want to, again, pander the fans going, please. Mm-hmm. You know, we've all seen vloggers who are like, I don't want to get a real job. Give me money. I'm like, well, you know, I'm not work shy in any means, but it's like, you know, if I can balance work with this video, mm-hmm. it's fantastic. But it's when people go, you go to America and there's like some guy with like, like 10,000 subscribers were, and they're like, oh, I make a cushy living. I'm like, what about you? I was like, well, everybody in wrestling knows who I am, all the videos are, and I eat.
Yeah, Stone Cold Steve Austin is name dropping my web series.
Yeah. And I'm eating, like, I'm just flying economy, eating supermarket meals, like cost cutter, they're American references. Family Dollar, I love them. So I was like, yo, are you living it up, Matthew? He's like, yeah. Yeah, that's me with my Porsche.
Yeah, there's always, and you know, there's clearly a good amount, at least from my perspective as someone who edits video, a clear amount of effort that goes into your work. And because it's not just like, okay, here's a bunch of botches in a row. Like you have the music in there. Yeah. You have the segments that you cut together. Yes. Everybody talks too much. John Cena talks too much. And just like the endings are so hysterical.
Thank you.
Yeah, like every time. It's so dumb. We have the server at work. The IP ends in 22. Whenever I read it, I think of Sid Vicious screaming 22 in the parking lot and Taylor Swift.
That fucking song.
That is like one of my favorite endings. Yes. But yeah, and you use a lot of game music. That's how I figured out you were a good guy. I'm like, man, he listens to OCR.
Of course, yes. And Larry OJ, whose name I probably mispronounce, and Lion Tamer is like, hey, Matthew, you know, it's you. I'm like, yes, it is me. And we've just come from the video game music panel.
Yep, name that tune.
Name that tune, thank you very much.
Yeah.
I got to the semis, was very happy. People looked at me like, how can this guy get Rocket Knight Adventures like in a second? Mm-hmm. And it says, well, that's on my iTunes a lot. So it's like, how do you know it's all, you know, just, you know, as a practice? You're like, no, I've got OCD.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it's like my wife can name tunes just from being in the car with me. Like, there was some song playing. She's like, is this Guacamelee? She's never played Guacamelee, but it sounds like it's probably from something that you listen to right there. No, I really appreciate that GoldenEye was the first song that came up.
Oh, I'm like, thank you for that. Yep. Nudge, wink, wink. Yeah.
Right there on a silver platter. So, yeah, most of your time here at MAGFest, I mean, you do run a panel. What do you do at your panel?
That's always good because I don't know what people want to see from watching media panel. So I always bring the people in and go, look, we've got three choices. You know, it's like an old like Monkey Island. Mm-hmm. You know, like we can watch, for example, I've got the most botched Kayfabe Commentaries DVD that I did with collaboration with them. Nice. Kevin Nash, Balapta, and all these talking about botches. I've got the recent Botchmania and the next one I can show to people. Or, I'm not sure if you've ever been around a group of wrestling fans, we can just talk wrestling.
Yeah.
It's only an hour-long slot. Mm-hmm. And whenever you get 10 wrestling fans together, that's 200 opinions. So, it's like, you know, people, wrestling fans like to be heard and debate stuff and make jokes. So it's always like, absolutely. So I go, look, Cyber Sunday time, you know, you guys vote, and then, you know, you can't say you dislike it. This might get out of jail free calls. Because there's been some great panels here at MAGFest I've had. Like, last time I was here, ended up being in some guy's room because you have a room aborted. Because at MAGFest, like, you can't have an official room. You're not that big. I'm like, oh, cool. But the fans are like, no, we love you. Holding me in the air like Gulliver's Travels. So I did in some guy's room, and it was fucking great. Because I was just, like, joshing back and forth and then playing WWE Revenge.
Nice.
But then other times it's been absolutely horrible. It's because it's been like everything's broken. Like we had one where the room got changed last minute, so I had to go run around going, it's here, it's here.
Oh, God.
There was no audio on the video.
Oh, dear.
And instead of it being shown on a monitor, it's like, what's it called? Projector.
Yeah.
It, we had to show it on the wallpaper instead. And it's not white wallpaper, it's like flowery.
I've been there before.
These videos with no audio and no visuals. It's like, this is, I feel great right now. So I was just like, I'm really sorry. I'm going to go, like, never do videos again. Like, nah, it's cool, it's cool. So hopefully today will be more like the latter than the former.
Yeah. I know we already talked for quite a bit, but I want to talk a little bit at least about what is actually going on in wrestling these days. Sure. Now, you seem to be the kind of guy who likes to just watch the show and enjoy it and not, like, you know, and I realized this after a while that there was a period, you know, when I grew up, you know, I watched wrestling. I just enjoyed it. And then there was a point where it's like I watched wrestling and then read what people said on the internet and was like, man, wrestling's terrible.
Yeah.
But I've come back around to like, I'm just going to watch the shows because it's fun no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, the way I watch wrestling is with friends. Mm-hmm. So it's like we'll meet together, we'll watch Raw or pay-per-view and be like, yay, this is happening or this isn't happening or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, and that'll be it. And we'll be stuff like, yeah, Ryback's awesome or stuff like that. But it's... Yeah, I think it was discussing this with somebody earlier today in a really social debate. Like, when it comes to niche things like wrestling and video games and comics, I think the appeal of it being a niche thing does give people the appeal of, I know more than this because I'm the core audience for it. So, like, I'm a wrestling fan. I know more about the wrestling than you. Yeah. It's like, okay, great. Well, I know I'll have a better time watching this. So I don't know who's wasting their time. And it's kind of a matter of times I've got together with people. Again, we've got Twitter on the go and making jokes or whatever. And then it's like, oh, what about another pay-per-view or whatever? Oh, let's see what people have said. And it's all, that was the worst pay-per-view since Man Discovered Fire. Oh, God. I'm like, whoa, you guys, really? That was great. You know, do you not like that? And they're like, no, and you should hate it too.
I can't believe what they did with this storyline. They never should have won that match from John Cena.
That's it. Like, Raw's 3 hours, and it's like, there could be a lot of good things on there, but like 1 5-minute segment will apparently kill the show. I'm like, yeah, but it was like 5% of the show, you know?
Yeah.
If you start, it's like, the rest of the show was good.
Yeah. Well, just like, feel like it's either, you know, there's great matches. There's, I think there's a lot of great, you know, characters and performers in WWE right now. And even the stuff that's bad is usually still like funny. And the stuff that's weird is even better.
Yeah. Like, so that's it. I want it on a t-shirt. Maybe one day it'll sell, but it's like, enjoy it when it's good. And then laugh at it when it's bad. Mm-hmm. That's the only way to keep on joining us in an episodic nature. But then everyone else is like, oh, I hate this, I hate this. I'm like, really? You do need to draw the line somewhere and go, right, I'm just going to stop watching wrestling. Because if you're putting the hours and time into watching wrestling, even though you're disliking everything about the show, it's like, there are better things to be doing in life.
Absolutely.
To say the least.
Yeah. You should be watching it because you like it. Well, it's been great talking to you here. Shake of the hand.
Handshake.
Hand of the shake.
You can't see.
Very formal.
Yeah, you try to take my wallet. You can't see that, right?
It's a fantastic suit you're wearing. But yeah, thanks for talking to us here.
Hey, no problem. You're listening to...
Oh, what is this? This is Fat Gatsby. Triple Radio.
Wow, that was
special.
What a professional.
Well, I forgot, because this is like a special episode. I was like, what are we calling it? Oh, my God. I'm like, no, it'll just be under Triple Radio. But yeah, thanks. Yes.
Beautiful. Yep. 8.5. That's 8. What I give this out of 100. Thank you and good night. Woo!
Pappy, you want to go on record again? Friend of the site, Pappy, frequent guest on Triple Radio. Tell us about your earliest gaming memory, briefly.
So, I never really had a console growing up, but I remember going to friends' houses or babysitter and playing Mario Brothers 2 and playing Kung Fu on the NES. And even our Commodore 64, I remember being frustrated at Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as a child. But the first official console thing was, we got Game Boys when I was 11, my little brother was 8. And the first game we had was Tetris. My father ended up being a huge fan and very good at it. So I remember doing the System Link in Tetris against my dad. And at 11, play all the time, I was always a good sport, but I do remember actually beating him when I was somewhere around 14 or 15 years old, and to this day, that's probably the penultimate victory of my lifetime, of actually saying, Dad, this is the best thing you've ever been good at in my eyes as your child, and I beat you. And I still haven't beat him in chess, so I guess it's a fair trade, so...
Darren DeMarco, how old are you?
I am 34.
And what is your earliest video gaming memory?
My earliest memory is the Atari 2600 my brother owned. He had already established a pretty extensive library.
Your older brother?
Yes, my older brother. He's about 8 years older than I am. So I think I might have been around, I don't know, 6, 7, that type of area. He already had games like Mountain King, Chopper Command, Missile.
I love
Command.
Mountain King.
Mountain King is one of my all time favorites. It's from watching him play that game.
That's really sweet, actually.
We started things like combat, which were so crude that the tank was a total of like 7 to 8 pixels. So then seeing him pop in a game like Mountain King, where now it just felt like a dangerous, scary, dark world. Yeah. Probably the same, probably less amount of pixels than the main character, but the fact that you could make so much progress, get so far up, and fall helplessly for minutes at a time until you had to start up with the quest was amazing to me, because at that point it was just limited things like combat or chopper command, you're moving back and forth. Pitfall, I never really grasped the the quest concept of that game. But something like Mountain King, just it's like transporting me to another world, which the 2600 blew my mind. That to me, that kind of, and that game, it's evolved on the other versions of the Atari as well, but that's the one I started with, so I always go back to it. That it just felt like that, out of all the other titles on that system, was able to immerse me. And with that graphical limitation, and at the age I was, I think is pretty amazing.
All right. Hi, this is Dave Ottavino for FatGatsby.com. It is 1 in the morning on Saturday at MagFest 8.5. This is part of our big MagFest 8.5 special. And I am here talking to Brendan Becker. Brendan, how are you doing?
pretty good. I was really frightened. I thought you said fat and gassy. But
that's going to be our spinoff project, fatandgassy.com.
Fatandgassy.
You have enough Domino's at 1 in the morning.
Needs more best being gas.
ADR that shit.
Are you guys just playing with the microphone?
No, we're recording an interview right now.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Okay.
That is now part of the interview, Sean.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hold on. I'm gonna bring in this lady right here.
All right.
All right. Tell everyone who you are.
I am Jill. I'm Brendan's girlfriend.
Fascinating. Okay, sorry. Go ahead with your real thing.
Brendan, when I first met you, you were introduced to me as Mr. Magfest. Is this a moniker that has perhaps been left behind as you're now known here, at least? You bill yourself more as Inverse Phase. I feel like is that where you're at now?
I think... Well, people still call me Mr. Magfest, yeah. And I'm
it will
fine
never
with
leave
that.
You.
It will never leave me, and you know, I don't think I'm going to be leaving Magfest, you know, in terms of not coming or anything. But man, that was a bad euphemism. Anyway, so yes, I usually introduce myself at Magfest as Brendan, I think, because like. Sometimes people hear, you know, Brendan, or they'll hear the jokes about Brendan said it's okay, or have you seen Brendan, or, you know, something like that.
Brendan said we could ride the service elevators,
yeah,
so.
I most certainly did not, because I am not in charge of Jack Diddley shit, I can say that. But yeah, I mean, if people ask me what I'm up to, I'm like, yo, I'm a chiptuner. Moniker is Inverse Phase, yeah. So I do that, yeah.
So most of our listeners probably know all about Magfest, but, you know, someday maybe we'll have new listeners who maybe don't know what Magfest is as briefly as I know, right? But hey, let's for the sake of the future, for the sake of those future
yeah.
listeners, in a few sentences, just tell them how just the beginnings of Magfest... And your involvement with it and
can
how
I do
it
a
grew.
Mic drop here? No, I'm just kidding. Jeez, all right.
The nutshell version.
The very nutshelly version is I went to Magfest 1. I had the time of my life, and they didn't do it again due to a long series of events. So I bought it from them for half of the price of the debt that they had. And the guy that ran Magfest 1 stayed on as like a vice chair, you know, like sort of an advisor for Magfest 2 and helped me figure my shit out because I was really not good at it. So over the course of the next several years, I got better at running Magfest, brought more of my friends into, you know, like department head and administrative positions and whatever, and we just tried to kind of Magfest was intended to be a convention in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
And it even was going to be an anime convention before it became a video game convention. But my dream when I was in like, you know, grade school and whatever was I was the kid running like lemonade stands that had a Sega Master System and an NES I borrowed from down the street, and you could pay like a quarter to play for 5 minutes, a la Place Choice 10 or
that's
something.
Pretty genius.
But, like I had,
you're an entrepreneurial young son of a bitch.
Sort of, yeah, I guess. But like my real dream was like I always had fun going to the arcades, right? Which mm-hmm. no one knows what an arcade is anymore, but that's not the point.
Kids,
the
look
point
it up.
Is I wanted to somehow, you know, like turn. Having people enjoying themselves in an environment with video games and friends into a real thing.
That is a perfect summation
yeah.
of Magfest
and,
right
and
there.
And that's kind of, you know, like, so I went to Magfest and I had that experience, more or less.
Mm.
You know, it was a little bit organized and it was a little bit disorganized in, you know, various different places, but, like, I felt like I was home.
That's fantastic.
So... When I kind of turned Magfest towards my dream and away from the whole convention mentality, and we would go to conventions and like sit around and promote Magfest, and you'd be like, "What are these guys doing wrong?" Not in terms of, you know, like, what did they fuck up? Yeah. Although we do pay attention to that, too. But more just, you know, like, what is not in line with, you know, like, our mindset mm-hmm. here? And so I did that year after year after year with everyone that I knew and everyone that I could drag in and, you know, cold called guests and just, like, random stuff. And
I think it takes a certain amount of fearlessness, yeah. Honest. To buy a convention. In order to make it your own, to make it this wonderful thing that it has become. I mean, it seems so fearless. And obviously, it is not without its challenges.
Yeah, no, it's definitely challenging. And, I mean, the reason I stepped back is, I've got some health issues. I broke out in, like, almost full-scale hives mm-hmm. at MAGFest 9 from stress. And my body was telling me, yo, back the fuck off.
That started happening to me when my daughter was born, actually.
Yeah, like when you were freaking out?
Yeah. I mean, this is your baby.
And, I mean, the thing is, you know, not being in charge anymore is definitely different. People still poke me for info and, you know, that sort of a thing. And I just don't have it anymore. And it's kind of bittersweet. You know, it's nice to be able to relax, and it's bitter. It kind of stings because, like, mm-hmm. you know, I don't have the answer, and people come to me as an information source, and I'm not as well connected as I once was, and, you know, all of those things. But, like, not breaking out in full-scale hives is very important to me.
That's a much better scenario.
You itch the shit out of yourself and, like, just make it worse and whatever. And, like, they misdiagnosed me several times.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, maybe you have bed bugs, maybe you have scabies, like, all these, like, scary things. And it turns out it was just I was, like, freaking out is mm-hmm. really what it was. And, you know, like, one of the doctors I saw was like, you need to go to a shrink. 2 months ago. And I was like, well, I don't know that I want to do that. And he's like, well, you need to back off from whatever you're doing and, like, let go of some responsibilities. And ironically, right after I stepped back from MAGFest, I lost my day job. So then it was no stress and all the stress mm-hmm. all over again. But that was the kick in the pants I needed to start writing music again. So that was, you know, it's cool to, like, be like, oh, you don't have anything to do. Time to get creative, literally and figuratively, you know. And whatever, you know. It was a fun adventure. It's still an adventure going to MAGFest. I mean,
totally.
Even if you're just an attendee.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, as chiptune artist Inverse Phase, I really wanted to go to your panel today. I had to sit table. There was no one else to do it. Tell me what I missed. What were some of the most interesting things that happened at your panel today? What were you able to teach people about chiptune music?
So I do, like, 7 different panels at, like, various conventions, and I've got slides and shit for it. It's very, well, it's very unprofessional, but it's professional looking. But basically, I just want to, you know, like, show people kind of the under the hood chiptune stuff at some of them. And, like, there's a lot of things that, you know, people give, you know, chiptune panels and be like, this is the start of electronic music, and now it's evolved into chiptunes or devolved or whatever it is. And, like, you know, they'll leave out various parts, and everyone leaves out various parts, but I know a lot of those parts, so I try to kind of, you know, like, just skim over every single part very briefly.
It's a deep and winding history.
It's a rabbit hole is what it is. But, you know, like, a lot of people, think, like, chiptuning started with the Game Boy when, you know, like, trackers, like LSDJ.
Little Sound DJ.
And stuff like that. And, you know, like, 25 years prior to that, we were doing stuff, you know, like, I mean, maybe not good towards the beginning of those 25 years, but I mean, like, people were writing, you know, I mean, game music is just original music written for a sound chip. It's a chiptune. It's, you know, it's not like what chiptunes have become today, but I mean, you could argue that a video game composer is a chiptune guy, like, you know, I mean, the point is that, you know, even if you, like, completely discredit video game composers, which I am totally not doing. I'm in love with video game music. Commodore 64 was out in 1983, and people were writing like music for just like music discs and stuff in like 84, 85. So, you know, I mean, the chiptune scene was alive and well, you know, like as it exists today in sort of an underground form, 15 years prior to LSDJ. And like a lot of people just don't know it, or they leave it out, or whatever. And it's, you know, I want to fill that in, and I want to tell people about demo scene stuff, and like tell people what it used to be like when you didn't have like development tools on a modern computer that you could like. I write my music on a PC and just compile it to NES and stuff that. And you know, before that, you had to write the music on.
You
the
are
fucking
programming
NES.
A chip, you know, literally.
Or like work on a Commodore. The Commodore is less than 1 megahertz. It is 980 kilohertz, and like. You know, I mean, it's you're writing music on like a fucking graphing calculator or slower, basically, and you know, like people. I think
but it's an instrument.
No, it's
you know,
yeah,
it's
an instrument,
is,
and it's fascinating, and it's fun, and it's all of those things. But I think people don't realize, you know, like some of the early stuff. So, like one of the things I like to do is, you know, place. I still love. You know, like some, I've heard a lot of music that is what we call fake bit, which is, you know, like I wrote this, it kind of sounds like a chip tune and it's pretty good, but, you know, like I still pay a lot of attention and respect to, you know, like great music and whatever, but I like to place my focus on authenticity.
Because it's within
like
those limitations sometimes that creativity can really flourish.
Right.
When, I mean, when you can literally
you really
make any sound, what's the point?
Right, exactly. You need to get pushed really hard, and like then suddenly you turn into like some sort of weird masochist that's trying to get weird sounds out of, take that out of context. But anyway, the point is, you know, yeah, it's really understanding your roots and being forced to do weird shit and stuff like that is sometimes what makes a piece of art beautiful.
Well, I love the bands at MAGFest, but this is really it's the learning about people that love music and love audio and have just this knowledge to share to share with people that are passionate about it. That's what I really love about coming here every year.
Yeah, everyone's got well. The other thing that I really love about MAG is everyone is just stoked to be here. Like, really, people get, like, I mean, you get events that, like, people drag their friends along to or whatever. And, you know, like, they're like, oh, well, you know, I'm getting dragged along to this. And, yeah, I mean, they end up having a good time or whatever. But, like, at MAGFest, you get friends that are so stoked that they, like, infect their other friends with how excited they are for the event. And, like, they end up in the car. They've never been to a MAGFest. They're freaking out. And, like, they get to the event. And they're not let down. Like, you know, I mean, and people have just walked up to me and they're like, Brendan, you know, my friends told me that MAGFest was the most amazing thing in the world. And it was true. You know, like, I mean, just, you know, and stuff like that. And that warms my heart because, you know, like, I really tried to push hard to make sure that everyone.
This is an interview. Yes. Yes.
In progress.
Lie
you want to interrupt?
Right now.
Can I interrupt it?
Oh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, John St. John. John, I'm David Ottavino with FatGatsby.com.
David, so nice to meet you, man. Give me some elbow love here real quick. No, I heard Brendan just droning on and on and on and on the PA in here, and I'm like,
it's impossible.
Nobody in this panel is paying any attention to them. Everybody's just not at all. Is this a panel? Oh, yo, it must be a podcast.
No, it's opening ceremonies, John.
This is not actually a podcast?
No, it is.
Oh, okay. We're on the air live from MAGFest 8.5. Brendan, I didn't mean to insult you, but I wanted to come over and make a spectacle because I thought all these people were just fucking ignoring you in this room, because they are. You can see that
I have plenty of love from my buddy here.
Okay. So,
can I ask you a question, John? I heard from Wes Johnson this morning that the two of you went to a wedding today and some shenanigans went down. Can you tell us about that?
I can show you about it real quick. I know. Yeah, it's a podcast. They can't see it, dumbass. That's the whole point.
We're
hey, you
have
guys
to
listen
upload
to this podcast?
The picture.
Sorry,
I've got
you can't
some
see the
sound
picture
encoding
I'm show.
Tricks.
Yeah, tough Let's, shit.
Sound encoding tricks. We're gonna play this back.
Tell them to get a fucking webcast so you can see what's going on, for God's sake. Okay, so this is the bride slapping me.
Oh, ouch! That looks painful.
Oh, wow.
Oh, dear.
She's got a, like, huge grin on her face,
What
though.
Did you do to deserve that slap, John?
Well, we're going to talk about that at a panel tomorrow at noon, me and Wes Johnson. I think it might be in this panel room.
So, I can't wait.
So I don't think we're podcasting it, but maybe we'll record it and we'll license it to you to podcast if you want it.
That panel is called John and Wes in the Morning Star.
Star. Star?
Yeah. Asterisk.
What was the asterisk?
We mean noon.
Thank you. That was exactly right. Yeah, noon. We'll be up at the crack of noon tomorrow. Yeah.
John St. John, legendary voice of Duke Nukem. Great voice actor. Thanks, John. Well, Brandon, I think this panel room is filling up for Botchamania in a few minutes, so I want to...
Jill has an adage.
I just want to say hi to Hex. Hi, Hex!
Oh, just one more thing before I run off. I think you're holding up a panel with your podcast. So I'm just going to pass that along.
Time to wrap it up. Brendan Becker, Inverse Phase, Mr. Magfest, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, you didn't shake my hand with two fingers.
It's my specialty, the two-finger special.
That's all right.
There we go.
Here, wait.
Ooh.
Here we go. Oh,
touchy,
Jesus.
Touchy.
This is getting kinky.
Thanks, Brendan.
All right. Thank you. Fat and gassy.
Fat and gassy.
Steph Prater.
Hi, Dave. What's up?
Can I ask how old you are?
35.
So what would you say is, like, the definitive system of your childhood?
System? Oh, would be... No.
Like that's the system that got you into playing? Like,
yes, because I used to... Well, my brother didn't let me play his much, so I played my... I watched him play. He let me play. I mean... He let me watch. And then on our vacations, though, we had a lot of fun because we would be in California for a week with my family, my extended family. My grandmother lived in California. And so we'd go and visit, and my parents own the house. So, like, you have to be there for, like, a week or two in order to say that you own the house. It's stupid. It's some residency crap. So we would go out there, and we would rent a Sega Genesis for, like, a week.
Wow.
That would be a thing that we do. So we played Altered Beast. We played Populous. He sucked at it, my brother.
No patience.
Right. Or I don't know what it was. Like,
boys.
4 years old or whatever. And so I played it. I played Populous, and I got to the end, so we had the number, right? So we had the number, and we were writing down the password for the end of that first thing for Populous. And our grandmother, love my grandmother. She's so sweet. She's super old. But she walks in from... She opens up the back... You know, sliding glass door, and there's the television cord, or the whole, like, system cord, everything, right across her feet, and she half trips over it, and we're like, oh no! We weren't actually concerned about her well-being at all, because she didn't actually fall down. She just tripped over the cord and unplugged it, and as we're writing it down, we had, like, half written, and she trips over it, and the whole thing just blips, and it's black, and we're like... Together, we're in this perfect grandma.
But you still loved her after that?
Of course.
Good for you.
Because we just played it again like a day later, and because we needed a day to
cool down.
To get over that, yeah.
You were plotting grandma's early demise, but you gave it a day.
No, we love our grandma. It was fine. It was just like, oh God, we have to do it again.
That's a really special memory.
They're very special memories. My grandma tripping over the cord.
Thanks, Steph.
You're welcome, Dave.
We're live.
Damn.
We're live?
We're live.
Are we
live.
Living?
We are alive.
We made it. We are alive.
Are we of the living live?
Yeah. Hi, guys. We're driving back
from Tim.
MAGFest 8.5 now. Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you in the vehicle. Everyone managed to get into it.
This is how we talk to each other now, like when the podcast isn't recording.
Yeah, it's all very official.
So we're back. It's me, Tim. It's Dave, Tim, Steve, and we sidecar.
It's probably the people that we're driving in, but if it isn't, that means we left someone
behind.
You know. That would be really, yeah, everybody check in for the podcast.
Right on podcast.
Everyone got your
hopefully
travel
nearly like 45 minutes to an hour since you last heard us in the car. But for us, it's been 3 days of times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What'd we do?
Tim, did you see any concerts?
Yeah, no, I went.
Oh, you did. Okay.
You were at Arm Cannon. I saw you at Arm Cannon.
Yeah, I went. Okay. who the fuck? I poked my head in to see The World is Square because I had the recollection that I saw on Facebook they were playing a song that I wanted to hear someone play, but I couldn't remember what it is. Unfortunately, as soon as I walked in the door, I'm like, oh, it's like the caveman party song from Chrono Trigger.
Oh.
Yeah, All World is Square, they're a band from Boston. They just play square music, hence the name, The World is Square.
Oh, gotcha.
And I stuck around for a few songs. They seem pretty okay. Like, their arrangements are very straightforward. And
okay.
They don't really kick it into another gear. They're just kind of covering the songs, and there you go.
Okay.
I never drive with a lap dog on my lap.
No.
In the car. I'd be so afraid they'd just jump out.
Yeah. But they're like... their instrument arrangement is lends itself very well to Chrono Cross music.
Okay.
Yeah. They're cool. And I saw some of Arm Cannon.
Those guys.
Because I haven't seen Arm Cannon in a while. And I didn't know if they'd, like, you know, done anything new.
Because they did that whole Mario set.
Yeah, they did a Mario set. Yeah. Except every... I saw on Facebook, and what inspired me to actually go down there, because we had a panel at midnight that night. Was I saw Al Sean post that, oh, cool, Arm Cannon's doing a all Mario set. And I got down there, they were just playing their set and saying that every song was for Mario. basically. Like, need everybody to help me out with the lyrics to the Super Mario Brothers theme. And then they played Gears of a Mad World. And
was Al Sean here?
No, he was watching the Twitch stream.
Okay.
I don't know. I know some, like, the concert streamed from MAGFest 12, and I think there was some streaming the year before, but this year they had streaming capability set up in every room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The improv was streamed. You said Lauren said the audio.
It was streamed, Lauren said she could only hear the laughing, and that with the other Tim, the new Tim, the lesser Tim. Said that future Tim apparently.
Yeah.
Said that his girlfriend said like she could barely hear it as well. I mean the mics were in the back of the room, so it's tough.
So don't feel bad about us not telling you the listener about this one.
Yeah, but something to be aware of in the future, I guess. You know, a lot of stuff is streamed.
You know, in the future I could catch our audio from the board and then we can just pull the Twitch stream
from
and
the
combine
future?
The two.
But we don't talk into microphones when we do improv. So
The audio from the board will, there are microphones there.
There are microphones that will pick up something.
And the audio from the board is gonna be better than whatever audio.
I was gonna say you pick up a few more of these floor mics.
Oh yeah, I could just put this thing out and it would catch better audio than...
As long as I don't step on the damn thing.
As long as you don't step...
I'm sure
it's
nigh
indestructible.
We could probably get some decent audio.
Don't tell me this thing is nigh indestructible.
I take that back.
Yeah.
Hammer test.
Hammer time.
Hammer time.
Stop. Tim, you heard what happened with Arm Cannon's merch, right?
Yeah, that it went home with their drummer.
Oh.
Like Friday night.
Oops.
Yeah.
Oh.
They had no merch.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's a mistake. I didn't see any bands at all. I think Zerum told me that. So I didn't know what the Proto Mans were. I didn't realize they are a parody band of the Proto Men, composed of MAGFest staffers. I think that's pretty cool for Proto Men that there is a parody band of them out there now.
Well, that's what happens. That's what happens at these 0.5 events.
I guess so.
Pluralizing
anything goes.
Now that
Somewhere at the actual MAGFest. MAGFest. No one can remember the number, so they're just like that. Previous, the last one, the one that was real, it was legit.
Yeah,
I like. I like thinking of the concept that if you don't go to a 0.5 and you're a group like X Strike Studios that goes regularly to MAGFest, that they will make a parody version of you out of MAGFest staffers to perform in your stead.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, I poked my head in when Those Who Fight were playing, and because I had nothing to do. We were, again, waiting for a panel that was at midnight.
Right.
That was about it as far as me going into the concert hall.
I like what I overheard of Professor Shy Guy, who was behind us, like playing samples. I'm like, I need to actually go home and listen to your stuff.
Yeah, I know. It's so dumb. Like, I'm just like, I have no idea who this guy is, what he does. I could ask him because he's right. He's like, his chair is literally touching the back of my chair.
Like, I talked to him about the league, and that was about it because they were watching some.
I guess it's just, I don't know, maybe
Yeah.
Look, we have a U-bred Raptor CD in the car, yes. Apparently. In the car, it's in the trunk, but I look forward to hearing that. That's a fairly new band.
Yeah, I was excited because, I mean, the guy that gave me the CD was just, like, you know, obviously someone who enjoyed them, which I thought was someone sneakily from the band, just like, oh, what do you think about these guys?
Stealth marketing.
Yeah, but,
I only like cool music, and these guys are, you know, they did it for me.
Yeah.
Hey, man, like, you know, school sucks. That internet rocks. Have you heard about this band? They bred Raptors.
I just want to say their drummer's really kicking it, in particular.
But someone earlier had said that they had a brass section or something, which apparently not, but... but he was just like, oh, yeah, but they got a cello, and I'm like, ooh. Okay, well, that sounds nice to me.
Okay.
All right. Traffic is happening. It happens. But, I mean, this wasn't an event that I was really looking to do anything.
No, honestly. Not really.
So.
I finally met some voice actors.
Oh, yeah?
So I semi-accomplished my goal. I got an interview with John St. John. Or I got him on. He interrupted an interview that I did. Well, you will have just heard it. Our listeners will have just heard that.
Yeah.
But I got to meet Wes Johnson, who turned just a super nice guy, and I emailed him last night. I didn't know that his panel was a class, like a voiceover class, and he insisted on turning off the Twitch stream. He said, like, because A, I want to be, like, when I teach these classes at MAGFest, I want to be, if you want to take a class from me, you got to come to MAGFest, dude. But also be, like, part, you know, just part of acting, teaching is, like, it's private. We want everyone to feel comfortable because we're critiquing stuff. And,
yeah.
And so we don't need the internet watching everyone, you know, going outside their comfort zone. And he took some people that had clearly never done voice acting before, gave them just some really good basics to help them just instantly up their game. It was lovely to see.
I'd like to take that class.
Yeah, that sounds like a good thing to have gone to.
It's, you know, it's acting 101.
Yeah. Oh, I did that, so okay, I guess I'm not gonna go.
Still cool. He had scripts from, you know, he's guest starred on Veep. And so has his son, apparently, which is...
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is so great for him.
Huh.
Oh, this is why there's traffic.
Yes, yep.
Mm-hmm.
We have found the source of the problem with this guy. No, I'm not.
This doesn't look like construction.
No, it doesn't.
He's constructing an alibi.
Oh. Oh, boom!
Boom.
I don't see any cars messed up. So, it's just like a drug bust. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and he had some scripts from old stupid games that he did incidental voices on. And he brought girls up and helped coach them like how to voice young males. And it was really interesting.
That's cool. Yeah.
Very cool.
And he's just very funny and personable and warm and a good teacher.
I've heard that.
Did he come? He comes to the regular MAGFest?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He's he is the other guy that is not John St. John and is not GLaDOS' husband.
Yeah, he's been coming for slightly longer than John St. John, I think, just because he's from the area.
Yeah.
He's from like Bethesda.
Yeah, he's Baltimore based. So he's done every Elder Scrolls game since Morrowind.
Yeah.
Super cool guy.
Awesome.
Yeah. Wind is going a little more now.
Sorry.
I'll turn on the AC. That's a little quieter. Compromise. Yeah, I had some... when I first heard about the MAGFest 8.5 idea, I thought it was awesome. And then kind of approaching the weekend, I had some apprehension that it might be kind of lame, I guess. I don't know, that it might not quite hit the mark of what they wanted. But no, it totally hit the mark of what they wanted. And that, like, it ended up being, you know, only, like, I think, like, 1,500 people tops. And... It was, you know, the marketplace was invite only, pretty much, or not even pretty much, but just at all. It was invite only. We did it. Well, yeah. Other than guests, but I suppose we probably would have been there anyways, because we are friends, the marketplace people. Toned down guest list, just smaller environment, less people, and yeah, it really did kind of capture some of that old magic of. The
quieter, gentler.
The marker, the marker, the hidden mark MAGFest. Like, not as not as insane as MAGFest 9 was.
Right.
Like, there was a certain level of, I don't know, MAGFest intensity that wasn't quite there, but it was cool. Definitely. So, I'm really hoping that they get to do it again, but it felt good to not have so many people there, and I was... So I felt like I was running into people I knew more than I do at the Gaylord, because, I mean, the Gaylord is more spread out, and I do know a lot of people at MAGFest, but a lot of times at the Gaylord, like, people are, you know, they're not out in the middle of everything. They're if they're not hanging out at the table or in a panel, then they're up in a hotel room hanging out up there. They're not just, like, chilling somewhere downstairs, where it's here, like, I was doing the thing more where... I'm going someplace, but then I run into somebody and then talk to them for a half hour. And then
it was hard getting anywhere, really.
Yeah. Well, it feels like you have the time to do that, too, because, when we have events and stuff, it's just like, hey, good to see you. Good seeing you, Eric Ruth. Yeah. Goodbye. You know?
But, you know, and I could just, like, sit down in a cushy chair, and eventually someone I know is going to walk by and maybe sit down, or maybe not, or maybe I'll just sit there and who knows, whatever.
Right.
But that was cool to be back in that hotel, and I really like how... You know, the hotel had, like, that takeout pizza thing for the restaurant. Well, I like how it was there. I know you couldn't eat in with it, but you told me. But I like how they made the Gaylord...
Yeah.
They're not trying to help us eat at all, really. But here they're like, okay, well, you know, not only do they not mind so much if you bring food in, but it's like, we're gonna provide for you, like, so you can have an affordable meal.
Well,
and the food truck, I thought, was really an awesome thing to have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and the freaking coconuts.
coconuts. And the farmer's market that got a surprise run on coconuts last night. It was weird watching that escalate.
Yeah.
Like, because I first saw people, like, come in during Name That Tune and, like, give one to Zero.
Yeah.
And I thought it was
just that one guy.
Yeah, I thought it was just like, oh, that's weird. They got some coconuts. And then, like, as the night wore on, I just saw more random people walking around with coconuts.
Like, yeah, whoever we saw in, we were just immediately like, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
Where are you getting those coconuts? Farmer's Market. About 200 yards that way. $3 a piece. Yep. I'll go get some. Those things are heavy. Holy cow.
Yeah.
I was carrying two on the way back. I'm just like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Good food, noodle place that you love.
The noodle place that gave me a free massive Rice Krispie treat. It was really good.
Yeah.
But again, it's like, you know, someplace you can eat for $8.
It
wasn't like, that's the other thing, you know, at the Gaylord, that National Harbor area is just swarmed and slammed with people the whole weekend. Where it's like, we were at the noodle place for lunch on Friday, and it was, I don't know, not busy.
Yeah, right.
I think that's why the Gaylord was offering up, or not Gaylord, the hotel restaurant was offering up that pizza deal, though. I mean, otherwise, you're looking at, like, the cheapest thing you can get there is a $10 burger.
Right.
So, what they're, I mean, it makes good business sense to offer something that people can buy.
That's not the only thing you have for...
I-270 square and follow signs for
I-270. Now you know where we are. Our giant Rice Krispie treat is not the only free thing that we got this weekend either.
Oh, yeah, we got a... Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
It was just funny. That one day, like, things were being gifted to... And again, I don't think that would have happened at the Gaylord, you know?
No, absolutely not.
Like, on the other side, like, I figured because those fooderies were a little more than a quick stroll, like... At the Gaylord, like, those restaurants are boomed right there. And that's why they get packed, though.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have that kind of little bit of distance and the time to... And the ability to drive and come back and get a parking spot.
Yeah, barely.
It's also, I mean, those long walks away from the convention, it's a good place to kind of just get away from, like, that sensory input. I mean, I get overloaded in those places a lot, so I need to get away, like, at least once a day. And you could do it in a hotel room, or you can do it while you're going to get some food.
We missed the Ukrainian festival, though.
Well, you know, sacrifices have to be made. Yeah.
It was taken over by the Russian festival.
Stuff we did. The commentary was fun. Friday night. It was a midnight shit show, as those commentaries are meant to be. That was, you know, good turnout from the fans.
I was actually surprised both nights for the midnight stuff that people did show up.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that.
Well, it's like, you know, when we, you know, the life of the party, have to go host a panel, everyone else might as well come along and sit there.
The other issue is that the guy hosting that house or that room party, he was going to that panel, so he had to shut down his room party.
Yeah.
So everybody else is like, well, I don't know where we're going to go. Might as well go to this panel because we'll know at least when the room party starts back up.
You know, it's not like midnight is late either. I guess at a convention.
Yeah.
I mean, there was like plenty of people to Botchamania panel at 2:30 in the morning.
Oh yeah.
I do feel kind of bad for missing that. I mean, I made a choice.
Right.
But
I was glad I was able to stop in and see some botchery. And you will have heard from Matthew earlier on this podcast.
Yeah. Unfortunately, like so, I was walking to shut up, Gladys. I was walking to one of the parties and I pass Jay Ford and Adam Stackhouse just at a table talking adamantly to each other in an empty room. So I sit down, listen to the crazy talk for a second, and then get up and walk away. And I should have stayed a little longer because what I didn't realize is they didn't hijack, but this was all set up for a local radio station. And they were just doing a live radio show. Because everything was set up, so they just started fucking going for like an hour and a half.
And it was broadcast live or
something? Yeah, in the area.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Dude, there was a guy in there that was dominating that conversation. Every time I walked past that room, there was just this guy. He's like, this is what Pokemon's about.
Yeah, no, I heard they got people by the end.
Well, people just came in and started sitting down and talking about stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, no, it was really funny. And I learned a lot about Street Pass games. I think I'm going to have to buy the other ones after hearing about them.
Oh, really?
And I heard a lot about Rusty's Real Deal Baseball.
Oh, is that where you heard of
it? Yeah, that's why I heard a lot about that from there. So, fortunately, I was hoping that they were, like, recording a podcast or something, but I guess not. Oh,
okay. Nope.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. And that was a very... this era MagFest thing.
Yeah.
Just some just randomly take over a panel room and start having your own panel because no one else is in there, but the stuff's in there, so why not?
Yeah.
Like, people are just looking for a place to sit. I'm like, when I sit down there, I'm looking at the schedule, I'm like, this is not the schedule. These guys are just full of shit right now. They're fucking around.
Yeah, it was great that it was easy for me to just quickly hijack a couple of microphones from the stage in between our panel and Matthew's to talk to Brent. Like, look, there are live mics. I've already got my recording device plugged in, so let's do this.
Yeah.
Like the classic Hilton Merck MagFest, the elevators sucked ass.
Yeah.
They're still terrible there. I don't know what the hell they're... Like, four elevators for...
Well,
30 floors.
The first night, one or two of them broke down, and they didn't get them fixed until Sunday morning, I think. Or no, like maybe like halfway through Saturday night.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah.
Still sucks. Apparently, I was talking with somebody. There was a technician in the elevator fixing it while it was running.
Yep.
And it was like shaking and shuddering. And like,
yeah, I was in there. Dude had the panel open, was working on it.
Yeah.
Like,
it's encouraging.
Yeah.
At
least you know he's on it.
Yeah.
We had our improv show.
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
That
yes,
went
did.
Pretty well. I'm not sure how much... I hope someone recorded that. I'm not really sure because Jared does it at the regular MagFest and he was not there.
Right.
So I don't... I imagine there will be some clips up online. Hopefully you can find those on the Facebook or
probably,
otherwise.
You can watch it on the Twitch archive, I'm sure, but you probably can't hear it.
Probably can't hear shit.
Right.
But it was a fun show.
Yeah. We changed up our long form format a little bit.
Yeah.
Yep. Trying out some new things and a new game. That action replay.
Yeah,
game,
action replay was a lot of fun.
Which was pretty fucking funny.
That yeah.
Funny.
I'd like to see that. I'd like to see the beauty of recording the guessing game. Not even guessing game, but you know, hidden game thing. Like, I'd love to show the people that were outside of the room.
The scene was, yeah.
And just watch their reaction to that, yeah.
Shout out to our new cast member this year, Tim Stoll. I thought he did a great job. He was a good kid.
Yeah, no, he did a good job.
Yeah.
Bright face.
That was good. Yeah. Dave, you recorded almost the entirety of Name That Tune, which should be going up as a separate special episode
yeah.
For people to listen to. Probably, maybe at the same time as this, maybe a little later in the week.
not sure, but keep an eye out for that. Mm-hmm. So you can, you know, listen to old Name That Tune show.
Which play along at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All audio is. I apologize those, in advance that the, for the guy at the end who did not understand the rules of the final round at all. But that was funny unto itself, and eventually he got it. Oh, man. That was good. And that was oddly under-attended as far as Name That Tunes go.
Yeah.
Like, usually we are, like, especially at the when it starts, it's packed. We have a huge list of people. When we started round one, we had 13 names to choose from. Like, everyone who signed up for Name That Tune got to play. Yeah. And then we got to the last of the round one heats, and we were like, well, we need three more people, so who wants to go in? And one of those guys won.
You know, when Matthew got up to do it, I was impressed. A, he did a great job knowing his stuff. But B, he also very considerately used the North American versions of game names.
Yeah.
He specifically said Star Fox instead of Star Wing at one point, which thought was that's big of him.
Yeah. I remember he said,
not only think fast, but also interpret for North Americans.
But I was amused when he said, that's from something from the Mega Drive. I mean, you know, Genesis. But like, every time he was wrong, he's fuck. Like, every single time. I think I mentioned that when I was interviewing him, too, but the first song that came up for him was from GoldenEye 64, which is what he uses the music from so much in Machamania, and uses clips from GoldenEye. Like, I think it must be his, like, second or third favorite thing in the world behind wrestling and video games is GoldenEye.
Unfair advantage for him.
Yeah.
That was really fun.
We had our second midnight panel.
Yeah.
Yeah, recorded that, too. You'll get to listen to that.
Oh, yeah, you did record.
That was a surprisingly cogent conversation for how late it was and how much we drank at that point.
No, I'm glad we got Sean up there.
He actually helped move things along and gave it a comical counterpoint times. So that was it's good that he decided to sit up there.
God, anyone with energy at that point was welcome.
Yeah,
that is not the first time I've seen Sean Lewis debating. Philosophical points, and using a large amount of comedy when he does it.
Well, sure.
Yeah, it's really fun to watch him have a philosophical argument. Because it sounds like he's cracking jokes, but he's actually making really good points.
Yeah. So listen for that when we put that up on the site.
Yeah. We got so much content.
Oh, boy.
The MAGFest 8.5 content.
Oh, listeners, you're so lucky.
You're so lucky. I don't know. It was a good weekend. It was really fun.
Yeah.
I had a really nice time hanging out with people that I don't usually get to see.
Right. Still incrementally talking slightly more to Ruby each time.
Yeah. I spent a lot of time with her this week.
Yeah.
So I saw her. I got to hang out with her a lot, and I got to, like, usually every MAGFest, I never get to sit down and talk with Bobby and Kevin. But I actually did this time.
I had similar with Jay Ford and Stackhouse a bit.
Yep. Maybe we'll get them next time, but... Like,
yeah. I did a podcast with Bob and Kevin. Obviously, I sat down, and you'll be listening to that.
I don't know if that is obvious. They won't hear that quite yet. That'll be coming soon, I think.
Yeah. Well, I don't know order-wise, but I would figure that would be pretty soon. Yeah.
Yeah.
As soon as we write a theme tune for it. I'm sorry that we never got to...
Oh, no, that's okay. That was...
drunkenly jam out and make a theme tune.
Well, that was the risk of saying, let's get drunk and make a theme song, is once you start drinking...
you start forgetting.
Forgetting slash you're doing other stuff.
And part of it is that's...
we still have a car ride.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
It's such a big... It turned out... I tried to be as portable as possible, but even then, it's such a huge, heavy kit to carry around on my back late at night when we're going bouncing room to room drinking.
Right.
But, we'll figure that out, we'll get that up. And that's going to be a really great podcast. Can't wait for you guys to hear it. And also, it's, you know, MAGFest 13 proper is a scant 3 months away at this point. So if you're listening to this podcast and any of this sounds exciting and interesting to you and you've never been to MAGFest before, get yourself out to the East Coast, the greater Washington, D.C. area. And check out MAGFest 13 in January at the Gaylord National Hotel and Convention Center.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll be doing something similar there. But bigger.
Because
Embiggened.
Well, I don't know. It's sort of a 4-day convention. It runs Friday to Monday this year, which is weird.
That's weird. Yeah.
And you know, it's
just difficult to.
I
already feel like you know. You know, last time, and it's not a holiday on Monday either, but last time MAGFest ran to Monday, it was, but there was still jack shit going on Monday.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, this was months ago, but I don't know if there's going to be concerts the Sunday night, because who knows how many people are going to be able to stay. That might be more of, like, just a 3-day convention, but I've already, like, Darren was asking me if we were going to show up on Thursday, and I was like, well, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see. But yeah, that's coming up. But there will be a lot more bands, people there. Certainly a lot more people.
Yeah.
10 times as many people.
Yeah.
10 times as many bands.
Literally.
Yeah.
My God. Yeah. It's almost a frightening prospect to...
Man, it's a bummer that I didn't realize they were going to do the chiptune show outside, but then it rained.
Yeah.
So they couldn't...
Oh. Yeah. I saw that.
They were going to do a couple things out there in the middle, but then they couldn't do it because it rained on Saturday when they wanted to do those things.
That would have been cool.
It would have been cool.
That's a shame.
Yep.
Germantown.
But yeah, definitely.
All right.
Yeah, come see us at MAGFest 13, where we'll be doing stuff to be determined.
Yes.
The
final X-Strike Studios live appearance.
Yep.
Yep.
The end of X-Strike Studios.
As you know it.
As you know it.
This was the funeral. That'll be the wake. We'll go out with a bang, in a blaze of glory.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that about wraps us up here.
Yes. Yeah.
So we need to find a sheets and get some gas.
Food. Yeah, food's out.
Thus concludes our Grand MAGFest 8.5 special. You've been listening to Tim, Dave, Steve, and Weiss on FatGatsby.com. Check us out for a new podcast every week, and thank you so much for listening.
I think like our stuff on the Facebook, the Twitter. Yeah.
If I am recalling correctly, I believe next week will be the first episode of Games of Future Past.
Ooh, so that's a good one.
Stop back, check that out. That's kind of our new retro cast with me and Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Cool.
Bye-bye. Bye.